Howdy, folks. Widget Walls from NeedCoffee.com here. So, listen, I was thinking of alternating my pre-show shill types, but so many people have been asking me questions about this Audible deal, I thought I would revisit it. Because Weekend Justice is indeed brought to you by Audible.com, and you might be asking, Widge, how can I really take advantage of this? So I'll tell you this. You like vampires? Go check out one of the longest audiobooks they have on Audible. Seriously, I did a sort by time. The Vampire Archives. Stories by Poe, Lovecraft, Byron, Harlan Ellison. It is 61 hours long. And if you go to audibletrial.com/justice and get your free 30-day trial, you can use your free audiobook download to snag that. 61 hours, folks. It's the audiobook equivalent of getting a 14-shot espresso drink for free. So seriously, check it out. audibletrial.com/justice. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Ow, wow.
Yeah, what's up?
Please tell me we're recording tonight.
No.
Why not?
I thought we should discuss this with you already. We're going to every other weekend now.
You're fucking with me.
No. Or maybe I am.
I'm going with you are.
Who knows, really?
Because there would have been an email.
No, there wouldn't have been an email.
He used to send emails.
Not to you.
He used to love me.
just not to you.
No. Everybody, I have the Boston game on in the background. Are you a basketball fan, John?
I am not a basketball fan, no.
Oh. I like the basketball.
Really?
Yeah, I do, actually. My brother used to play it when I was a kid, and he broke his arm, so he just went into kind of coaching and stuff. And so I was kind of around a lot. And of course, you know, then Magic Jordan happened. So, not Magic Jordan, Michael Jordan. Sorry, Magic Jordan is on TV right now because discussing the game. His Magic 8-Ball.
You mean Magic Johnson?
Yes. I'm not that big of a basketball fan.
Obviously. For the record,
hey guys, guess what? In 8 hours, guess where I'm going?
Where are you going? Poland. You're going on vacation.
I'm going to Poland, baby.
That's right.
Are you really? Oh, that's so cool.
He's going to screw in light bulbs.
Shh.
I don't know what that joke is, but I'm going to go with it.
I know.
My dad was a mild racist. and used to tell all the Polish jokes that we had.
Really?
I didn't know there was Polish jokes.
Oh my god! Up in Binghamton, New York. Yeah. But I'm part Pole.
It's like how many Polish people does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I'm like
I don't even know the punchline,
Polish.
But it's
half Polish, my friend.
But it's like, hold on, I'm sure the internet could tell us how many Polish.
Oh, you don't know? Just don't look it up. Poland's cool. All right, here's the cool thing about Poland people.
How many Polish?
So if you're going to do it right, John,
the answer
use the right derogatory term. Then
what was the derogatory? Oh yeah, that's right.
See, I didn't have to say it. No, okay. Here's the thing, people. Poland is kind of cool because it was one of the first countries that actually elected kings. And it freed serfs from the toil and, enslavement.
And that's why they're
the land.
Dumb. Doesn't electing kings defeat the purpose?
No. I don't know how they worked it out, but it was kind of cool. They're smart people. It's just that the whole during World War II, right before, that's when Stalin went in and slaughtered the entire upper echelon of the Polish army, meaning all of the officers and stuff, all the smart people. Yeah, great. Great. Anyway.
Light bulb joke. How many? Okay, it's 3.
Yeah, so finish it off.
One to hold the light bulb, the other two to turn the ladder.
No.
Okay, now...
You know, you could say that for hillbillies and hobos.
Well, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? By the way, this is on Wikipedia. Wikipedia actually has a light bulb joke.
Wow. How
Excellent. Many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
One.
No, the light bulb has to want to change.
Has to really want to change. That's right. How many little... How many water puddings does it take to screw a light bulb?
Aaron.
And why are you going to Poland?
Poland's cool.
Well, that is an excellent question that the other two didn't.
I want to ask that question first.
I will answer both at the same time. I'm going to Poznan and Gdansk, and the reason why I'm going is because Ireland have qualified for the European Championship of football. So it takes place once every 4 years. The last time we qualified was 1988.
All right. When you say football, do you mean what we call soccer or football? Football. Our
soccer.
Football.
Do you really think we play American football?
Some people do. There's always those weird little oddball independent foreign films where, oh, hey, look, we're weird Irish Scots folk and we thought we'd play American football. I've seen that film, at least in two different languages.
No, Rudy did not take place in Dublin.
Okay.
Rudy, not Phil.
Sorry.
I'm not even sure why Polacks have Polacks. Yeah, there we go. Derogatory. Because I'm looking at the Polak jokes section. Yeah. There is a Polak joke section in Wikipedia, by the way.
Why the Polish?
Yes, why
you
the Polish?
Want to try that one now?
No, not really.
I told them.
Why they even got this stereotype?
I don't know either. I wasn't aware, but I think everybody has that stereotype to somebody.
Yes. Oh my God, Irish. Okay, here's the funny thing is I remember in social studies.
Oh.
Now, I come from from, you know, Binghamton, New York, which is a small
racist community.
No, it's a melting pot of we had friends of mine, their parents still spoke Italian. We had the Irish on one side of Binghamton. There was the Polish over
in... We weren't allowed to cross the line that they set down.
And there were Greeks. So it was this giant melting pot. And we heard all the jokes. There were the Germans.
Yeah, I mean, three of the smartest programmers we have at my company are Polish.
So yeah, I know. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, whatever. A part of it historically is because of when they came over, other people here made fun of them.
Actually,
that's a part of the historic because they were one of the last of the melting pot.
Here's an interesting take. Like, take Jewish folk. Okay, Jews that didn't like German Jews because German Jews looked down on Eastern European Jews. Yeah. Everybody hates everybody. It's a known fact.
Everybody's a little bit racist.
I think the only like race of people that aren't getting a hard time are the Eskimos.
I don't know. We call that. See, here Inuits. You go. You're calling them Eskimos. They'd like to be called Inuits now.
The Inuit
racist.
Are you into it? With the
well,
Inuits?
I really rolled myself right into it.
Yeah, you.
Okay, so I wasn't paying attention because I was saying goodnight to my son, but according to Wikipedia, the American version of Polish jokes are an unrelated, purely American phenomenon and do not express the historical old world hatreds, because I guess it was
Nazis. Oh, yeah, all of Europe really hated Poland, really, because they were smart.
You know who the Ukrainians hate?
Who?
The Jews.
What the fuck
I'm
am
tell
I?
You.
Welcome to
Hatecast. I don't know what the hell either one of us have stepped into. All I know is Aaron's somehow going to Poland and oof my. Okay.
Okay, so I used to work with a Ukrainian guy when I worked in the supermarket when I was in college. And I was talking about how Saving Private Ryan was on TV the other night and how I liked that movie. And he went on this rant. And the guy was only like 21. He was a young guy. But he went on this rant about how he hates that movie and hates all those movies like it because the Ukrainians were slaughtered. Like, there was three times as many Ukrainians killed than Jewish people in World War II. This is the quote he spouted to me now. And he said that nobody ever hears about it because Ukrainians don't control Hollywood like the Jews do.
Well, the thing is, the Holocaust never really happened. What?
Well, listen, don't, push your scout agenda here, John, okay?
Yeah, that's a problem with the scouts too, John. We can have that discussion too.
First of all,
my God, Aaron won the podcast.
Yes,
2 minutes in.
We couldn't. We already have had the discussion before. You just weren't here.
I like to bring it up on Scott's.
You're too busy filming your spinoff.
Hey, we're not talking about that yet in public.
Whatever.
What?
Nothing.
I heard Mark Harmon's coming to Dragon Con.
Who? Aaron Gray? Are we back on that again?
No.
John Boutelle, fuck you. And by the way, I can say that loudly. Hold on a second, Witch. I'm going to say it really loud. Dude. Fuck you! Because my child's not here for 2 weeks. Woo!
Sweet.
Oh, he's at camp.
Are you out of school already?
He's not at camp. He is with family in an adjoining state.
Oh, he's all with right. his real family.
That sounds like when you like send a dog to a farm.
Are you...
What was that, Aaron?
Lee, how did you steal
him? The dog's
gone
to a farm. He's like, he's joined a family in an adjoining state.
Lee, tell us how you acquired your son.
I acquired my son. Well, there were three days of
labor. Walmart or something? Walmart? Is that it?
All 72 hours?
Now, let's give Lee some credit. She probably got him at Target.
Okay.
I mean, Rocks, come on. I mean, there's a lot of things that we'll pick on Lee about, but Lee would never get her son as a blue light special.
I think it would have been pretty good for my son as a blue light special or as a special value.
It was Bed Bath and Beyond. Sorry. Yeah,
you might find him on a red light special.
I can't get it out. Everyone on this podcast right now has met my husband, and if you don't think my kid looks just like him... So it's just a clone. So don't tell anybody.
So you got him vaginally then.
So his real name's Cubert.
Well, Lee, who's the actual mom then?
Yeah, well, that was a test tube. Her name was Stacy. We liked her.
Stacy the test tube.
So is he
network.
Stacy single.
That would have been a better joke.
So is he going to camp this year?
Yes, he is going to camp this year.
Are we
going
to have the talk with him?
No, you do not ever get to have the talk with him.
Scott, don't you know you're not allowed to talk to him?
No.
Stacy, bring Kidlet back all in one piece.
Camp, sprouting wood in the woods.
Okay, stop it. But I had 13-year-old boys. He had his birthday party this weekend, and they had 4 13-year-old boys who stayed with me. I've got to tell you, 13-year-old boys are pretty perverted.
I think boys of any age are pretty perverted.
Well, I didn't realize.
I don't know whether to break this here.
Come on, guys. Let me just say that while the podcast sometimes goes to very dark places, I don't know if talking about the perversity of 13-year-old boys is a place where we really want to go. Is it a place where we want to go?
No, it's okay. It's not that bad. But they were playing a game. We're playing Ticket to Ride.
Hang on. Lee, I need this, obviously. Okay, good. Go.
Good boy. All right. So they were playing Ticket to Ride, and it's the European version. And so at one point, they had to go from, like, London to Brest. Brest. And it's a city in France.
For those who don't know.
Yes. You would have thought these boys... Ooh, that looks pretty, John. Wait, that didn't come out right. Okay, but... You would have thought these boys had never heard of a strange name because they were all giggly over the term breast. And then you get a route that you go to Budapest, to which they all started singing booty, booty, booty pest. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, I got to leave the room now.
Lee, if you really want to crack them up, point them to the north of Ireland in a county called Donegal, where you will find a muff. Which is on the coast and, believe it or not, actually does for real, legit, have the Muff Divers Club. And just down the road from Muff is Cock Hill. So,
I don't get the Muff term yet, so I'll remind him of that when it's 16. But thank you.
Points to Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Intercourse, Pennsylvania. I've driven by Intercourse. Thank you. Climax, Georgia is a place.
Yes. I'd like to think that pretty much everyone on this podcast.
I think I'm coming pretty good.
So,
bastard.
What?
Not you, John.
Oh,
he's playing with his soundboard.
Oh dear. So I saw that. I just want to ask a question. Since Aaron, when are you in Poland? When are you gone?
I'm leaving for the airport at 9. So in 7.5 hours' time.
Oh, yeah, so you don't need to sleep.
So is that why you dissed me on Words with Friends?
Yeah, that's why I broke up with you on Words of Friends. Partially because I'm going away for 2 weeks. Partially because you keep kicking my ass. And the last two times, you beat me like 2 fucking points at the end. And I swear to God, I felt like throwing the laptop out the window.
Is it the problem because you guys spell your words like really weird?
Well, there is a few annoying, correctly spelled words that they will not take on that game, which I find very strange. But we're both very sneaky players, and I always take a really good lead at the start, but Widge always fucking pegs me back by the end, and
you got to remember English degree.
Mm.
He has a degree
and a writer.
In language.
Oh, I've complained about that before.
Oh, but don't forget, Dindrain stomps Widge's ass every fucking time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Does she?
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah well, she
completely hands me on my ass.
I'm just glad I never play her, but still.
So what are some of the examples of these words that they don't like that are actually spelled correctly?
Cat.
I'm trying to remember now. I know the word taser or tase wasn't being accepted.
Yeah.
Taser is a real word.
Probably in our game.
I tried that too. That's right.
No.
Wait. Hold on. No. Not that way. But do they accept? I can't remember. Do they take
exception?
Initials in Words with Friends?
No, but they wouldn't take that in Scrabble either. Technically, that you can't use any initial words.
Okay, so that's why taser isn't allowed.
Oh, is that what?
We look it up on Wikipedia. Is actually an acronym for the electronic rifle something or other. But yeah, that's why.
But well, also that means they shouldn't take laser either. Because laser is technically an initialism.
I'm not sure they do take laser, though.
Really?
I think I've tried it before. They definitely don't take the Z spelling of it.
Because there is Z.
L-A-S-E-R.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I heard in some areas you can spell it with a Z.
What backward
areas? The Tatooine and...
Oh, maybe I heard wrong. I was under the impression because it's like, you know, realize is spelled with an S here, but a Z in America.
No.
It is every time. I always get the fucking red line underneath it when I type it up, and I get told it's the American English.
What?
Jesus. Can't we just... Google needs to do something, because I swear to God, has anyone ever done a search for something, found an answers.yahoo.com entry that was worth a fuck?
No. Never found a yahoo.com. No.
They're always funny.
A rocks gets a...
No, they're sometimes really
time on Help Me Rock. So if you want, add into this at 404-382-0769.
You know, rocks,
your Yahoo answer.
I was thinking we should just open a Craigslist listing with the telephone number in there.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll do.
Oh God,
need some advice on that.
Yes, hookups at Dragon Con and wherever else.
Hey,
casual encounter. Oh God, casual encounters.
sorry, Scott. Were you trying to tell me that realize isn't spelled with a Z in America? Choose your words carefully.
No, I was asking if you specifically were trying to say something.
I don't remember.
See, Aaron, he hasn't actually read the word realize, so he can't really talk to it.
It was an easy shout, but it was worth taking.
Yes, no, realize is spelled with a Z here.
Okay.
Actually, Widge. It's actually spelled with a Z.
I was speaking Aranese.
Oh, okay. Well, in America, it's spelled with a Z. We don't spell it with a Z. Who's Z? I know a Z. My uncle's Z.
It's very important to understand that Z can also be called Z, because there was a conference call once where they were talking about something. The product is called ZOS, and they were calling it ZOS because we were talking to people in Europe, and the people here were like, ZOS? What the fuck is ZOS? Have you heard of this? I don't know that we can support that. And I'm like, this is why you should have had me on the call.
Now, does this mean that in Pulp Fiction in America, it's Z's dead, baby, Z's dead?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
When are you leaving?
7 hours, folks. We got 7 hours of this.
Oh, hey, make sure you don't get involved in one of those, you know, hostile type situations.
Oh, well, I'm staying in an apartment that I booked, so it's just me and my friends. I'm safe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was a creepy ass film. Eli Ross, Hostel.
But did you send your career straight to Eli?
Yeah.
Why did you do it like that? You should have done it like this. Okay, so here's a question.
What?
Yes. Question. Did everyone see the end of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I thought it sucked.
No, I did not.
Really not watching it.
Big time.
I've not seen the beginning of Game of Thrones.
Because I didn't realize it was the season finale.
Wow, Rox is getting aggro.
Oh, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then it was like the next day, I'm like, what? Season finale? Holy shit. It's like, let's throw everything in and, oh, hey, remember these little puppets? Woo. I mean, come on.
We have puppets now?
What?
No, I'm just saying. They're all puppets. It's a game. Game of Thrones. Hello. Everybody's a pawn or a puppet for somebody.
I was about to say, suddenly Game of Thrones produced by the people who brought you Spitting Image. What? There you
go. Yeah. No, I think they just
have
everything.
Game of Thrones would be really cool.
That it just seemed, it was like the ending of Two Towers. Oh, tune in for next season. You know.
Really?
I just didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Wow.
I mean, there were some parts. It's just like I swear to God, it's like if you put a stopwatch to each scene change, they got exactly like 15 minutes or something. They could have done. They could have done what some people do. It's like, oh, give them 2 hours or something. We only got 10 hours of this show this season. I'm mad. I wanted more. Sorry.
Write an angry letter.
And tag that if you want.
Her angry letter.
I want more. No.
Her angry letter is Zed.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it didn't make me happy at all because there should have been more. That's all. I'm done.
Are you sure?
So in the midnight
I'll probably
hour,
write
you want
about it
more?
Again. It was over. It was like a few minutes over an hour. I'm like, ooh, something is supposed to occur. Oh, crap. It's season finale. I didn't realize it. If I knew it was the last one, I would have gone in with a different, you know, thought about it. But, you know, I went in thinking, ooh, we've got I thought they were doing 12 episodes.
So really, it's your fault that it sucked.
No. Never mind. And I say that with conviction.
Oh,
no, I just didn't like that everybody got a little short, choppy bit. Short, choppy.
Hate the books then.
But no, I, you know, they're fine. But, you know, anyway, I wanted more out of it. That's all. I think they just sort of scrimped after a really nice, you know, episode from last week. Last week, really, they set the bar really high last week. And then here it was like, oh, here's some cereal, something like that. I don't know.
They set the bar and then followed it up with
Cheerios. Here you go. Here's some Cheerios, kids. Now go away so we can like work on season 3.
We're Bowl of Thrones.
Bowl of Thrones. Yeah. I
think that would probably be the worst cereal ever.
You eat the Bowl of Thrones before it while it's still crunchy in milk, or you die.
Yeah.
Now, well, I would also think it tastes like dirt and unwashed people.
Now, there was a really cool article on io9 about the 10 changes. Scott, you may want to look at this. It's really cool. Of the 10 really good changes that they made from the books to the series. Well, and it's a good list. It really is a good list.
You're assuming Scott actually read something.
You know, I have high hopes for Scott.
The truth hurts.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. What did you think of it, Widge?
Well, fully prepped knowing it was the season finale.
Just twist the knife there. Just twist the knife.
I'm sorry, Rox. I would have, if I'd have known, I would have said, calling all cars. Please be aware that Game of Thrones tonight is the season finale. Hashtag door.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. That's the season finale. No, I well, Scott, you hadn't seen it yet, right?
No.
Okay, so to avoid spoilers for Scott, I don't know. I actually thought that they covered a lot of ground in an hour and a half, hour and 5 minutes. I would have been happier with like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah, people of HBO.
I think that would have been given it more room to breathe, but I thought that they did a pretty good job of cramming it all in.
That's what it did. It felt like it was crammed.
No, I was okay with it. I was like, it felt to me like I was reading the books in that you get to the end of a chapter of a particular character and go, oh shit, is that the last time I'm going to see this character for another 5 years? Oh shit.
Really? You think that? You're a weird man.
When you read the books, yeah.
I know, but I don't think that way.
I think that way because I'm just like, normally they're left in some kind of lurch, you know, and it's just like, shit. So
then you skip ahead and you see their chapter. That's what I do. I cheat reading.
Rox, you cheated everything. I mean, that's like, you know what, Rox, you remind me of this great, new Twilight Zone episode that had Sherman Helmsley in it. Another one where he was playing a mathematician who basically sold his soul to the devil to solve some unsolvable equation that's supposed to be like Nobel worthy. Yeah. And at one point he says, well, you have three things that you can ask me or tell me to do. Satan says this. And if you can give me something to do I can't do, then you get your soul back. And he did the old, so I get three questions. And he says, yes, that's your first question. And goes, wait a minute, that's not fair. And Satan just goes, fair? You do get that I'm evil, right? But the way he said it with such incredulity is just you in a nutshell, Rox, really. I hope you take
Blammo.
That.
Yeah, that's a blam.
Intended for. Yeah. Rox, was that impressive for you?
Well, that's a new one.
Wow, that is. Where did that come from?
Hell if I know. I don't remember. Oh, my God. Oh, so in other news, since we're basically, I mean, that's it for Game of Thrones for, I don't even know when they're coming back, but.
Did you hear who's playing Herman Munster? I can make you cry.
Lee, that's exactly where I was going next, but feel free to feel that to everyone.
Jerry O'Connell.
The fat kid from Stand By Me?
Yep.
For a while.
He hadn't been fat for a really long time.
The husband of Rebecca Stromae.
Most people know him as the fat kid from Stand By Me.
Yeah.
No, he was on the Sliders. He was kind of hot in Sliders.
I know him from banging Rebecca Stromae.
That's how John hates him for that. But yeah, he's Herman Munster, guys. That's our new Munster next season.
Is there a makeup picture?
No, I haven't seen one.
It's not even on his IMDb yet.
It's been all over the place yet so far.
Here's the thing. Go ahead.
No, I just, when you said, is there makeup and stopped, I thought, what do you think? That's rude. You just said he was kind of hot.
No. I was just wondering if there was a makeup shot. No, here's the funny thing is. For a long time, I liked watching the Addams Family because they were anti-establishment and everything. And I liked the Munsters, you know, but it's like, man, I like the Addams Family better. Except I started rewatching some of the Munster stuff and they're great. I don't know if it's because of age or whatever, but, you know, they're awesome.
Well, do also understand that Eddie Izzard is playing the uncle.
Grandpa?
Grandpa. Grandpa is played by Eddie.
Hey, that's
okay. Grandma.
He's like our Al Lewis.
Adam.
Like Al Lewis.
Adam's family would be uncle. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. That was it. Sorry. She was talking about Adam's family. I got all confused.
Oh.
But yeah, is that not, I just can't see Jerry O'Connell as Herman. I can't.
Well, in fairness, I mean, I think once you see him in the makeup,
right,
it'll be a big difference. Because I mean,
if they do it right,
he can play goofy, and Herman Munster is very goofy.
Yes, but
that's true. Hang on, bear in mind, this is a quote edgier and slightly darker take. Unquote.
Oh God. What I'm saying about the new Dark Shadows?
I give it about 5 minutes, and they start going into the goofball comedy.
Oh yeah. All he needs is one laugh.
I'm afraid of it.
So, I am very afraid of it. Especially now. I'm just even
I'm sure it'll last, I think. I'll be generous and say 8 episodes.
I'll give it half a season.
I'll give it 2 seasons.
Really? No.
Really?
On NBC?
I'll give it about 450.
On NBC?
Ooh, NBC? Oh, okay. Well,
now, here's the question.
Know something. Why are you giving it 2 seasons?
I'm giving it 2 seasons because it is on NBC. Because NBC has...
NBC is slow to cancel stuff.
Well...
On some stuff.
Here's the question.
It has no comedy at the moment.
To paraphrase Aaron,
we've blown our wad early in the show.
Hold on.
Do they own the show? Does NBC own the show?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because it's Universal, so it's NBC Universal.
That might give it a little. Since it's in house, they might give it a little bit more leeway, since they're. If it was from another company, they'd have to pay more for it and that sort of thing.
They renewed Whitney. Yeah, well, that's all I have to say.
Cost of making shows will that's often stupid, dictate these sort of things.
Is it Whitney? Is that what her name is?
Yeah, they did renew Whitney. Yeah. That is true.
So that's all I have to say. They're going full bore, and I'm going to go with Aaron on the goofball comedy thing, because they're going full bore on the NBC is going to be the comedy network. They have comedy on every night of the week. So I just have a feeling that's going to make it 2 seasons.
That's why I think it's interesting what they're doing on Friday nights on NBC. What are they moving there?
They're moving Grimm up to 9.
Who is that to make it even edgier? I thought it was at 9.
They're putting two sitcoms at...
They're putting Whitney, 2 sitcoms at 8 right before Grimm.
Whitney and then... I think it's Whitney and then Community.
Okay.
Friday?
Yeah. So basically they're burying Community.
Why?
Which is unfortunate.
I know they got rid of that guy.
Yeah. Well, the show itself is imploding, but... Beyond that, it's still a funny, fresh show, I think. And people don't appreciate those kind of things.
What about Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec was renewed. It's going into the 2-hour comedy slot on Thursday as normal.
I like Parks and Rec. I know it had a rocky start, but I kind of like it.
I love Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I finally did watch the first episode of Grimm.
And?
Yeah, it was all right.
Not bad.
It gets better.
It gets better. Thank God it does get better. Yes.
There are some episodes that are not
better
fantastic,
than others.
But there are a lot of episodes that are way better.
Yeah.
And we also saw the house from Grimm during one of our drives around the Portland area.
In fact, I actually saw there was a scene where they apparently filmed right outside of Voodoo Donuts the other day, because I saw the Portland Keep Portland Weird sign in the background.
Oh, damn. Be awesome.
That's the plumped serpent episode with where they deal with the dragons.
Man, what I really would have liked you guys to.
What episode with dragons?
It's called Plumped.
The Dragon Girl.
All right, it's called.
Didn't
Plumped,
you see that episode?
Plumped Serpent.
Plumped Serpent on Grimm with the dragons?
Yes.
That sounds kind of kinky.
Well, I missed that one. I gotta find that one.
The guy has the cave and shit.
Right.
The quest and whatever.
John, you're really fucking with me, aren't you?
No, it was really well done. It was one of the ones, because sometimes they kind of stretch the whole fairy, what fairy tale they're doing, but that one was pretty pretty good. Yeah, so that's it. And the first episode, Widge, is mostly setup stuff. Yeah, so it's, you kind of just, and you can truly tell with that show, and I think Lee and I talked about this, that you can tell that show that it's from Buffy creators, because I mean they're setting all the characters that they had in Buffy essentially. They've got the magician or the magic user, whatever you want to call it. She's using potions now instead, but you know, the whole
she's using herbs.
You've got the guy who's also
serves using herbs.
Yeah. You know, it's got all the elements of Buffy, but it's in, but not, here's the thing. It doesn't have as much sharp writing as Buffy did.
Not yet.
It doesn't have the comedy.
Right.
But John, I also have to say, I think with some of the sharp writing on Buffy, that, I don't know that season one had that as much as season two.
Sure. Yeah, season one's brutal of Buffy.
Season one of Buffy was pretty damn brutal. As bad as the season where they killed off Joyce. I mean, that was, yeah.
The movie was better than the first season of Buffy.
Oh, hey, so Lee, do you get Grim? Who gets Grim for Dragon Con? Do you get it?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And I have to ask this. How is it under X-Track? Not that I don't want it to be under X-Track, but how is it
cryptozoology,
under?
John. She gets all of that.
It's a little bit about paranormal stuff. It's cryptozoology.
There's a police officer involved. Is that what it is?
I actually pushed that one first. I was like, come on, we got cops in it.
Who fought you?
A little bit of a conspiracy because we don't understand what's going on with the captain. No, I think it's mostly because it probably would fit under horror as it would have fit under horror as well. But yeah, we kind of had to talk about it, and it really fits a little. It's a little less horror-ish. So therefore, it fits a little better in X-Track than in horror and dark fantasy.
See, I see where American Horror Story gets, you know.
American Horror Story is seriously set in horror, and good luck. That show's freaky.
I love that.
You can have it. That show's too damn freaky.
Jessica Lange's awesome. If she was my neighbor, man, I know there would be like a throwdown. If she was my neighbor, we would be putting up barbed wire and all sorts of stuff.
Scott,
the third season of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Which is the Rox is the wacky neighbor.
Okay, somehow I have missed this.
I can't remember who writes it, but we need to pitch that to them immediately.
Maybe, yeah.
Or not.
Possibly not.
I'm busy season three. Just saying.
Well, you're filming Rox's Spaz House again, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. We're gone back into production.
Wasn't that a special episode of Spaz House?
It will
be. Every episode is a special episode of Spaz House.
Hey, did you guys see my post on Twitter about Bring It On, the musical?
Oh, God.
What about
it? I vaguely remember it.
I was reading The New Yorker for this week, and for upcoming events, Bring It On, the musical is going into previews at the St. James in New York City, July 12th. So what we could do is we could find out who is going to be reviewing it and send them our link to the review we gave.
They're making a musical of the Seal song?
No.
It hasn't got Kirsten Dunst in it, and if it hasn't got Kirsten Dunst in it, I couldn't give a rat's ass.
But we can say we reviewed this first.
Now, I can't remember. Do they actually try to do, like, the cheerleader stuff, like the pyramid and all that shit?
Yeah, they did do that, Scott. Yeah. It was amazing. It was freaking amazing.
I'm surprised that show hasn't had more injuries than Spider-Man.
Well, here's the thing, Scott. Here's the thing. If you watch the review, they actually mixed. They actually did a good job of mixing who was a gymnast and who was an actor. You know, and they did it really pretty seamless. I mean, it was a work in progress, but you can tell who
could you have a stunt double on stage?
I guess.
The whole point was if you were doing stunts, you were a stunt person, basically.
Yeah.
The leads weren't doing a lot of stunts that were above and beyond their ability to do them.
Yeah, like a hand, like a cartwheel or something. Like
jazz hands.
Yeah, I can do jazz hands. Oh, I broke my finger. Damn it.
If anybody is going to be doing jazz hands on this podcast, it's going to be me.
So we need to find like the New York Times reviewer's email address and send them our review.
Yeah. Scott, I don't know if you're the dancing type of guy, though.
Yeah, Scott, are you?
Pussy.
Do you ever go to any of the Dragon Con After Dark rave parties? Do you ever go
okay,
to
okay, 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 wait. Are we talking about dancing like club dancing or dancing
club
like
dancing? Whatever. Dancing. Club dancing. Club
well,
dancing.
Let's go with musical dancing, seems as this is what we were on a second ago.
Well, I've done a little dancing with
yourself?
Faust.
Dancing queen. Sorry.
Have you done any dancing in the street?
No.
They don't
dancing with yourself?
How about a dancing on the ceiling?
Dancing in the moonlight.
The roof, I want to take the chance.
I've heard that it's a pretty good feeling.
Uh-huh.
No, that's what I said, dancing on the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
So anyway.
Scott, are you good at interior decorating?
By that, in musical interior decorating.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't know what sort of gay stereotype Scott is. I mean, I know he likes the penis and the butt, but it's just what superpower is he getting out of this?
Stereotype.
Okay, here. Well, this
hang
is,
on.
Why I have to be stereotype?
What actually, superpower? Well, Aaron, did you think he was bitten by some gay guy and now he's gay man or something? Some radioactive bit him?
If you're gonna be gay, I believe you should get some sort of superpower like most gay guys that have, like super sense of style, super ability to dance.
Okay, wait, hold on, no. Just Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is not typical of most gay people. First of all.
So they were sullying the good gay name.
Now I'm not sure if you all know this, but it was made public knowledge at Serve's wedding, and why we haven't talked about this before.
Serve's gay?
No. No.
Wow! Surprise!
Dr. Jim would kick his ass.
He was actually tent mates with one of the Queer Eyes, the straight guy guys. When he was in Scouts.
Because it was announced.
Hang on. Tent mates? Wait, what tent?
Is this when
Serve was living rough? What?
This is a Scout thing.
Now, okay, yes, it was. Now you know.
Pet house.
Serve is.
Well, hold on a second. First of all, this guy would not be allowed in.
Serve. We're not going to go down that route again. I would just say that don't ask, don't tell. The guy is from Tallahassee. He was the hair guy.
The gay one.
Keenan.
You remember the gay one?
Keenan?
Remember
the hair gay one?
The
hair guy. The Keenan. Dress.
Yeah, okay.
He's
yeah.
the good looking one.
Yeah.
Wait, off Keenan and Kel.
No, I think it's Keenan. Isn't his name Keenan?
Now, when you say tent, do you mean like when you tent in your pants? Is that
oh my God, Scott. Just no. You know what that means.
Yeah. And unless I'm not mistaken,
Scott,
that's a sexual reference.
Yes, really. It's me.
And by camping, do you mean they had artificial sex?
Wasn't like Eagle Scouts or something, John, too?
What's that?
Weren't they both Eagle Scouts?
Yes, they were.
Well, that's cool.
Kyan
Douglas, yes.
There we go.
Rachel.
Kyan. Yeah, so the X-Lock's really good looking.
Ironically, he's... Oh, no, there yes. it is. Okay, Kyan, yeah. Someone misspelled his name in the Wikipedia entry. Oh, let me go fix that real quick.
Okay, I'll do that.
So
I spelled it with two S's.
Bi-curious here?
No, I'm not saying that this would happen, but I just thought that was interesting. But that has never come up on Weekend Justice.
Okay. That's all right.
When is he coming back?
Next week.
The Queer Eye guy?
We need to talk.
I think that show's off the air, isn't it?
Yes.
It's been off. Everybody's doing something. Yeah, that's why that one guy's on Chopped or something or whatever.
Is that another Eli Roth film?
Yeah, it is. Oh. That takes place in Hoboken, New Jersey, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, he was born, apparently, Cayenne, whatever. Actually, he was born Hugh Edward Douglas. And he changed his name to Cayenne to Strip, I don't know.
I'm Cayenne want the world to know.
He was raised in Tampa and Tallahassee.
Wow, in two places. They cut him in half and then fused him back together when he got older.
All I could say to that, Aaron, you got me thinking about Cayenne lays on down the road that I must travel.
Ew. Oh, I can't believe you remember that song. Ooh.
I grew up during that time. I'm sorry.
I know. I just too. Wow.
I don't control my brain. I don't control what it remembers.
Man. Actually, the funny thing is we had this, my coworker and I had kind of this discussion because we know this one guy, he is gay, really nice guy. He's a math teacher and he's a gamer, but he's the kind that would, he plays BattleTech and stuff, which is heavy in math and stuff. So one time we met up with his boyfriend and stuff, and he's like, I don't understand gaming. What is it all about? You know, he's asking us about his, you know, his boyfriend who's a gamer.
That shows you gay people are just like regular people. There's a spouse that's like, I don't understand what he's into.
Well, it was so funny because there's this game convention coming up, and I said, you know, so-and-so's boyfriend's going to be a widow this weekend.
See, exactly.
He's going to be running several games. So
even gay couples, one can be the gaming widow.
No, you do not have that song. You do not have it. Turn it off. Turn it off right now. Don?
What? What are we talking about?
He doesn't listen to anybody. He's an evil, evil little man.
No, it's not even evil. That's just
I'm big,
petty.
Thank you.
John, you're pissing off a supervillain. I'm just saying.
I mean, this is truly outrageous.
Don't. Oh.
All right, then everybody dance, Scott. Dance. Dance right now.
I feel sorry for anybody who's watching the live video feed.
This is what they should have ended the Queen's Jubilee on.
To my soul.
Rocks covered by who?
Oh, a madness, of course.
Okay, now that would have been good. Now you're talking.
Oh, God.
You're killing me here.
John, do your kids come up to you and ask you, Daddy, why is it
famous? God is old in my memories.
John, you're killing me and not softly.
Gem-like flame.
Did he say a gem-like flame?
Yes. Yes, he did. He did, in fact, say a gem-like flame. Find myself a
burn. Yes, John is flaming and not in a good way.
The question I have to ask now, of course, is where is Mr. Mister these days?
You know what? I will bet you money. I will bet you a quarter.
Look it
John.
Up.
Wait for him.
Oh, my God. You know what? They do those cruise concerts now.
Well, John, they're the one who wants to be with you.
You know what, John?
Yes. What?
I think. You know what I think?
Oh, they broke up.
I think. Oh.
In 94.
Oh.
Wah.
Oh.
They'll be back.
Oh.
The booze cruises are good.
Hold on a second.
What?
One of them went to go join King Crimson.
Holy shit.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God, he's a real musician.
Now I will say this: they did break up, but their last studio album, Pull, did not get released until 2010. So they haven't been technically gone for that long, and so it's probably just a matter of time before they reform.
Huh? And actually, according to this, a couple of them went to go work with Jewel. Let's see, Rod Stewart. Whatever.
Did you say work with Zool?
Zool, yes.
Zool. There is no Mr. Mister, only Zool.
David the Keymaster. Let's see. Rod Stewart, Whitesnake, and Tori Amos, Whitesnake.
Tori Amos, Whitesnake? What? Did she change her name?
No, Whitesnake, Tori Amos.
Oh.
Whitesnake, Tori Amos, and Rod Stewart. Three people you'll never hear in the same sentence again.
And,
ever.
It's like a really bad Johnny Carson skit.
And four non-blondes.
Oh, nice Karnak reference, Scott. Well done.
Thank you. I was trying to remember the guy, the character's name, but yeah. No, they had that. They had that Johnny Carson thing on PBS, which is actually very interesting.
What was it?
How did people not know that this was like a kind of religious-y song? When this was a hit, very few people listening to Top 40 Radio had any idea that they were singing Lord Have Mercy Down the Road That I Must Travel. The religious significance was mostly lost. How the f- really, people? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm referring to- you can say Lord Have Mercy without actually referring to
like a... I know. I knew it was religious. Well, like, now, again, Catholic.
October. Every time that you've always said Lord Have Mercy, you're actually referring to Jack Lord.
Well, yeah, there is that.
And it's the synthesizers. We all know that's the devil's instrument.
Oh, Scott, I love synthesizers.
Now, how many roads was they must travel down before you can call them Mr. Mister?
40.
Nice. All right, so we should flee the 80s because I have a serious question for you guys.
You know, I had to DJ a fifth grade.
Sounded like the 80s weren't serious. But okay.
Oh, shit.
I do not cheat on my taxes.
No, I believe rocks because you said that with conviction and you're trying to avoid conviction. No, I'm just curious. Did anyone else see the Elementary preview?
No.
What?
No.
And I will take a link and look at it now if you have one.
I have absolutely no idea what it is.
What you're talking about.
It's the American remake of Sherlock.
Whoa.
Oh, the one with Lucy Liu?
Yes.
What?
With Johnny Miller as Sherlock and Lucy Liu as Watson.
Now, I'm under the impression
it's five.
It's not a remake in the sense that they're looking to follow the same stories as the British one. They're just going to use a Sherlock Holmes story.
I would rather watch two Shoggoths mating.
Okay, Aaron.
I was just going to say, I have seen on Twitter people question Johnny Lee Miller's accent, saying that he does a terrible British accent.
But, you know, here's the thing is we have an American version. It was, you know, Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Wait a minute. Well, yes, and House.
So,
wait a minute. So, Aaron, Johnny Lee Miller, he's from the UK, see?
Yeah, but people didn't realize it. They thought it was an American actor trying to play a British character.
Oh, that never happens anymore.
You know,
if anything, it's British actors doing American accents.
Who was it? The guy from...
I like Aidan Quinn.
The guy from...
Aidan's in it.
I can't remember
his name.
I can't remember his name. For some reason, it's slipping my mind. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Who?
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, thank you. Gary Oldman was talking about how on Wait, Don't Tell Me, he was telling me specifically. He was talking to me directly.
Nice that he was talking straight to you.
John, only you can hear me.
Or if he's talking queer to you, I don't know.
I will tell you this story, but you must stop touching yourself.
Tell anybody.
Oh my God, it is Gary Oldman.
He was saying that he's played so many American roles that he actually had to go back to a dialect coach to regain his English accent.
Damn.
Oh, that's sad.
Wow.
That's what he said. He's like, I've done this for so long as I've had to play that no one believed my English accent anymore.
That's so funny.
Wow. How bad was it?
Well, here's what
I'm watching it right now.
Do you have a link? Link.
Hang on.
Just go on YouTube.
No.
You're gonna mess up your brains.
Hang on. I'm finding it. All right.
I just want him to tell me his thought. I'm not watching it.
I think it's here. Hang on. Let me make sure it's here. No, you're invoking it.
You can tell he's English because he's got that plaid scarf.
On Rock Lobster, John!
Oh, yeah!
like it, and I'm watched. No, I don't like it. It's not. No.
Worst rock lobster ever.
Oh my God! Here's the thing. It's a direct. It's almost a direct split. There are 3,000 people that like this clip, and 4,428 that do not like this clip.
Rox is doing your own podcast now.
Yeah, I'm on my own podcast. If you want to just, you know, turn down everybody else, and that's what's going on. Stop the podcast.
All I can say is it did its job. It got us out of there.
Okay. So anyway, 3,000 like it, 4,000 do not. And I'm pressed to.
Okay. You actually saw this thing.
That was amazing.
See, breathe into a bag. Breathe into a bag. Breathe into
the box.
Breathe slowly.
Breathe into your tiny box, Lee.
No.
Lee, Scott, I said a bag.
I need a little box.
Anyway, the gist is...
I can't get it out.
The gist is that Diane Miller is playing a be-tattooed Sherlock. Oh, Tuffley. Hi, Tuffley.
Hello.
You know what?
Tuffley, you're here. You can talk about Mad Men after this.
Oh, God.
Well, no, we have to talk about one other thing because then I got to go to bed.
Okay. All right, hang on. Okay. Tuffley, we were just discussing the Elementary preview. Have you seen it?
I hadn't seen the trailer yet.
Ah.
It's on YouTube. Click on You Don't Like It.
Allow me to play this for you.
No.
God. What? How much
I just
do you
watched play? It.
Don't play 4.5 minutes of preview.
Obsessive. Impulsive. Volatile.
God.
Welcome
don't
inside the mind.
Scott.
The world's most famous detective, who now somehow lives in the United States.
He moved there because he got out of rehab and decided to relocate.
And there's a girl with a dragon tattoo.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Mr. Hello? Excuse me, Mr.
Do you believe in love at first sight? I know what you're thinking. The world is a cynical place, and I must be a cynical man, thinking a woman like you would fall for a line like that. The thing is, I have never loved anyone as I do you right now.
Do you believe in love at first sight? I know what you're thinking. The world is a cynical place, and I must be a cynical...
Fantastic podcasting, John. They can't...
Anyway, yeah,
what
they can't
the
see anything.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. Okay. Anyway,
so I've watched about 2 minutes of this 4.5 minute trailer. And I would say instantly that I would probably watch this show if it wasn't based on Sherlock Holmes. Because it's so shoehorned into him being in America, first of all.
Yeah.
That it just seems very strange. But also the fact that it was really ill-timed to make this a Sherlock Holmes story. But everything else about it is quite intriguing. Johnny Lee Miller seems to be playing an intriguing character. Lucy Liu is Lucy Liu. She's fine. And they seem to have an interesting dynamic going on here. I would watch the show otherwise, but it just, they've lost me at the premise.
Why would they make it in the first place, Widge?
Money.
I'm asking you. You have to know.
The law of relative development demands that they do so.
Now, were they making
money,
it?
Money.
Were they making it before the British version?
Oh, no, I'm sure not.
No. No, they did. They were not in production before the Moffat version.
God, you know what they should do is just do mashups. All right, this will be great. You take out Lucy Liu, you put her at 1313 Mockingbird Lane, okay?
Oh God.
And then you take
God.
Lily Munster could be the Watson on this Elementary show. I think all we should do is just mashup shows.
Here's why I'm so glad this show is on CBS and the other one's on NBC, because you know what? Unfortunately, somebody would hear you say that if they were on the same network and go, that's a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Elementary is at least going to get a second season.
Well, it is because it's CBS and it's a crime show.
And it's a procedural on CBS.
John just said that you weren't here, but John said the Munsters is going to get 2 seasons.
If it's paired with Grimm and if NBC would stop shooting themselves in the foot with promotion, yeah, maybe.
I'm saying that it does get.
But that's
what
a
I'm
big
wondering
yeah.
is. I you know what I bet I'll, it was. I'll bet they thought that the British version of Sherlock wouldn't be popular over here, so they went ahead and did it. But then it's like, when it got popular over here, they said, "Well, we're already halfway through developing this. Let's just finish it."
Well, ultimately,
you know what?
Well, hang on, Toughly first. Go.
Go ahead.
You know what? Here's a novel idea, CBS. Why didn't you just co-produce the British version?
Yeah.
Ultimately, what the problem is that there's not enough British episodes. Really, is what the problem is. And so they see a vacuum there where, yes, there is a demand for it. And, you know, why not fill it?
Well, the thing is you ladies. Run into that whole thing about the way the British do TV. They could four,
Detective.
Six episodes, and we have to do, you know, 22. A whole 22, and yet all we get is 10 episodes of Game of Thrones. However.
But that's HBO. They run on a completely different
And they forgot
wavelength.
To send Rocks the memo.
Oh, man.
How HBO sees it is that they made 10 hours of programming as opposed to 10 episodes. 12.
Right. A rounder number.
Right. Well,
and to be honest, how many times is HBO going to rerun those?
Hold on a second. Did Rox, did you just say is 12 a rounder number?
Yes, I did. And I said that with conviction.
I don't think it is.
That's a question.
Don't argue with her.
Because once you divide it in half, okay, you can divide
Oh, it's
six.
An even number.
Rox is trying to think about how many DVDs are going to be in the case and, what experts she can get on there and stuff like that.
So by Rox's logic, 8 would have been fine, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so Rox. Jason Momoa was in Game of Thrones again or not? That's all I care about.
Not so.
Hey, Widge.
Yeah.
I'm very buzzed.
What are you drinking? What are you
but
drinking?
John, I will say for being buzzed, that was an excellent observation because not only, I'll take that one further. Not only do you have the BBC Sherlock with no episodes happening, not only do you have the Sherlock Holmes movies that the third one hasn't been announced yet, but if you think about it, your other Sherlock clones are currently gone because Criminal Intent off the air, House off the air. So you're right. There's a vacuum there to be filled.
Was Criminal Intent? Because I never watched Criminal Intent, which I think is why it's off the air.
The D'Onofrio character
Yes. Hands down. He was good. I liked him.
All the other guys weren't.
Right, because Chris Noth was Noth one. He was in the first or second of, you know.
Yeah,
he was in the first couple of years of the Mothership. And yeah.
He was just an angry Irish descendant type of guy.
Because Criminal Intent doesn't really get...
I wonder if we know somebody like that.
Toughly, correct me if I'm wrong, but Criminal Intent isn't on USA or anything like that, right? Or TBS,
it's not currently airing, no. It's still in syndication, but they're not producing
it. No, it's in syndication all over the damn place. You can always turn on a...
Yeah, just
you
like
can find a marathon somewhere.
Well, that was my point. It's mostly the one that's picked up by like local affiliate type stuff.
Yes, right? It is.
Yeah.
Because it's the one they can afford.
Probably. So I just have to, we all need to do a shout out to our friend Phantom V48.
Yes.
I went to go see him today. And yeah, he looks like Phantom. He's doing much better, I think. Yeah, he looks like Phantom, and he is he was talking and he was chatty. And then he was trying to be polite.
What did he used to look like?
Well, he's on drugs, isn't he?
No, he's not. Phantom had a little bit of a health problem. And he's been in the hospital for about a week.
And for our dear listeners at home, Phantom, if you don't know him by name, he helps out with the Doctor Who quest that has been going on, and also did our closing animation for our videos. So
yeah.
But
he's doing much better, and so that. So we all need to say get better soon.
Get better,
Phantom.
Soon.
Better.
Yes. Quit it.
Get well soon. We hope you will get well. Get well soon.
Yeah, there's easy ways to get attention. I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, really.
Seriously.
Yeah, just steal something.
Yeah, Scott.
It's
Scott's sick in a different way.
Yes.
Or steal large equipment that the city has left in your vicinity of your house, which is now in my yard. Just saying.
I've got large equipment.
Ladies.
Wait, so are you trying
no proof without pictures.
Are you wearing a hard hat, Aaron?
Well, all I'm saying is don't operate me when drowsy.
Can I operate you when you're a little tipsy?
Oh, God.
I will echo Scott's sentiments.
Oh, God. Sure, keep it up.
So I had to DJ a fifth grade party today.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
That's a good story. Keep going.
That's what
you're
we call it.
This for now? Why did you open with this? Go.
That's it. That's all. I have nothing else to say.
Now, what was the most requested song?
It was Kyrie Eleison by Mr. Mister.
In fact, it was this song.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. All called John a liar on the count of three.
I tried to educate them. I tried to play some Yes. I tried to play some Pink Floyd, but none of it was happening.
Even some King Crimson.
Yes. None of it was happening. It was the most requested song, let's see, was probably Sexy and I Know It, which, of course, I can't play. At least I didn't have the radio.
Wait. How old are these children?
Fifth grade.
11.
So that would make them...
Well, it's good that they know that they're sexy now.
Yeah, second most popular was Lap Dance by Nerd.
If you're sexy, you're
actually,
not. Because
I had several people come to me and go, do you have any...
Whoa. What? Aaron, did you just say if you're sexy and you're nappy?
Clap your hands.
Oh,
if you're sexy and you're nappy, clap your hands.
I must.
I had several people come up to me, several of the kids come up and do you have any Eminem? And I would look at them and go, what song from Eminem can I play here at a fifth grade banquet?
Were there parents there?
Yes, there were, of course.
Did you have chat with your parents and say, what the hell are you letting your kids listen to?
You're probably the most responsible parent there, I'd say.
See, John, the correct answer is, of course I have Eminem. I'll put it on right after the Slayer song.
You just made him spew beer. You did it, Tuffley. He spewed. Tuffley wins tonight.
And then following that, some Cradle of Filth.
And some Nine Inch Nails. Closer.
Widge, is there a clutch?
Who wants some Slipknot in this motherfucker?
I did have a lot of One Direction requests. So,
they're awesome.
I would say
if there was a particular clutch song that I would expect fifth graders to request, it would be Prison Planet, Escape from the Prison Planet, off of their self-titled album.
Awesome. Good to know.
Yep.
How much Bieber did you have to play?
I only played two songs.
Well, that's 1,000 years each in purgatory for you, my friend.
Yeah, they. this is the third most requested song.
Yeah, I see. I called it. I totally called it.
Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way you look in my eyes makes me overwhelmed. I like this remix of One Direction.
Was the fourth most requested Smack My Bitch Up?
Now, see, for fifth graders, I thought they'd be a bit more refined, like Erasure or something.
Wow.
Be a little more emo.
I did throw some Summertime in there from some old school
drums,
Will Smith.
Please.
Some Janis Joplin. Yeah, that's great. Well played.
Most depressing birthday party ever.
Ever. Most depressing end of the year party ever, John. Good job.
You know, did anyone ever do a mashup with that?
Of what?
With the DJ Jazzy Jeff version and the Janis Joplin version.
Oh, God.
If there hasn't been, it needs to fucking happen. Otherwise, the internet will never be complete.
Someone's captain board, please get on that.
The other requested song was something that I hadn't heard, and I told my wife, and she goes, oh, yeah, they're opening for One Direction. It was Call Me Maybe.
What? Who's One Direction?
It's a girl. her name's Carly Rae. Oh, why do I know this shit?
Aaron, I don't know.
This was a pedophile check, actually.
Oh,
go on, Aaron.
The sad thing is, what also gives me a lot of cool music cred from knowing all the music from like the late 80s, early 90s, because I watched MTV nonstop growing up, is that I still have the habit of watching music videos all day long. So I also know the stupid shit that's out now.
Where are you finding
Carly Rae Jepsen, I think her name is. The weird thing about it is that it got weirdly popular because Justin Bieber and co. were like miming to the lyrics on YouTube videos. You know that stupid annoying thing that people do where they mime to songs? Celebrities started doing it to this song. Yeah, Bieber did it one.
Aaron, I think we could all forgive you for knowing her name because you watch videos all the time, but the fact that you knew the words to a One Direction song may be unforgivable.
Oh, hey. I actually like the two singles I've heard. I'm a sucker for a good pop song.
Does that mean you like Jedward now?
Did I ever say I didn't?
He's never stopped liking him.
Oh, God. I kind of thought he had a man crush on Jedward.
Now, Aaron, yeah. I was going to ask you because...
he has them on his wall right now.
Like, on hooks. Aaron.
Trapped.
Didn't Eurovision just happen, Aaron?
It did, and we did pathetically badly.
Actually, now that I hear the song, because I didn't have it, I now recognize it.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Oh, thank God I listened to NPR.
God damn.
It's terrible,
dance,
right?
So we're going to talk about in the next soundboard.
See, guys, this is why they'll never let me chair an episode of the soundboard.
Well, then you're also foreign.
And they don't.
There's
never been any good music to come out of Europe.
Well, especially not the band Europe.
Well, no, except them.
There is an exception.
Oh, yeah. Superstitious was an awesome track, man.
Hey, what about that Irish group?
And he's looking for it now. I can see the gleam in his eye right there.
Yeah, look at that grin. Look at that grin. The bastard.
I don't have to look at that grin.
That's okay. You'll feel it soon enough.
You will.
Ooh.
Jesus. Oh, God. All right. So perhaps we should, before something else horrible happens.
Too late.
I know it is.
Well, can I slide in under introduction?
Yeah, we're about to. You're in just in time, Tuffley. Well played.
So help us out, all right? I'm not superstitious. I have no doubt.
Oh,
what
God.
The fuck?
No, oh, John, no, no. While things are changing. Oh, John, you're fucking killing me here.
Yes, what? Huh? What?
All right,
huh?
Right. What? All right,
what?
Here we go.
Huh? What? Huh?
We'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting...
No.
Ow.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
To another another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck across the entire internet, which is everywhere on the internet. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'll endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Aaron Poole is with us. Hi, Aaron.
I'm actually going to go. Sorry.
What?
Fine, be that
he
way.
He has to catch a plane.
Bon voyage.
Yes.
Thank you.
Have fun in Poland.
Sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
I'm already getting close to like only having 3 hours sleep, and I'm not fun with that much sleep. So I will go. But I also will say I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, and have fun without me. And I'll send pictures.
I'll go to the U.S. qualifier just to support you. It's here. It's here in Tampa.
They're playing a different competition though, right?
This is for the FIFA World Cup, actually, right?
Yeah, but that's not. Well, we're playing in the European Championship. The World Cup qualifiers don't start until like the autumn.
No, FIFA starts this year. I mean, shortly.
Yeah, it starts in October.
John, you've had beer.
Hold on.
It's the cruelest way of keeping Aaron
FIFA
from sleeping.
See, this is
why we don't have a stats
Tampa.
Department.
FIFA.
This is why we don't talk about sports much more in Weekend Justice.
2014 FIFA World Qualifier, U.S. versus Antigua and Barbuda, is June 8th.
Okay, well, maybe because you guys aren't participating in the European Championships, you start early because our first one's in October.
Oh, well, ours is June 8th, so I will go for you. That is this weekend, and I will go.
Okay,
we had up here, it has nothing like to a do couple with... weeks ago, we had U.S. versus Scotland for it.
Yeah. What's your problem over there?
Yeah.
He's not Scottish.
Well, that was a friendly you were playing.
Because their soccer actually matters.
Don't worry, I could go into this, but really, you don't care. So.
Rox, was that impressive for you?
They're just trying to keep you on.
Yeah, it was.
Bye.
Be safe.
By the time you get back, I'll find some other game to kick your ass in. Rox is Spaz out here. Hi, Rox.
Hey, is it too much to ask for to be entertained for 12 hours, people? Is it too much? I guess so, HBO.
What would you like to be doing in that 12 hours, Rox?
Watching more Game of Thrones. Only if Jason Momoa's half naked on it.
And Lee, of course, is with us. Hi, Lee.
Hi, this is Lee, and I get just like Aaron. Bye. I'm going to bed.
Okay, bye.
I'm sorry. I gotta go to bed. But Rox, I also have to talk to you about some DC stuff. And Widge, we're supposed to be talking to. So
okay, well, ping me.
She I will ping you
now, guys.
Try everybody. John, don't do it.
Just you want to talk this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Call me, John. Right. Don't.
Don't
There's
call
no
her.
I
don't
can't get it
call
out.
Her at night. I know what you're doing. She wants to go to sleep.
The alcohol
well,
is
actually,
starting
remember,
to really
I don't have
affecting.
A kid here, so maybe I'm not going to sleep.
I think
I'm coming pretty good.
They're going to play shaky.
So many sex spots. It was just not funny.
No, someone's gonna, I think someone's going to open up her little box.
I'm coming pretty good. It'll be. Are you going to play Axis and Allies all night?
He's gone.
Go on and talk with your mouth full.
I need a little box. I think I'm coming pretty good. I can't get it out.
She needs it now, guys.
God. All right. We also have, now that we've got rid of everybody, Scott C is also with us. Hi, Scott.
Let there be lips.
Is this another one you tried out on a pedestrian just walked by your house?
No, I went to, I'll talk about it in a minute, but I went to a thing of Rocky Horror.
Okay.
Well, no, he's doing the random poll now. He's stopping people in the street corners and going, okay, how about this?
Yeah. As opposed to Aaron, who in about 7 hours will start doing random polls.
Well, exactly.
Sorry.
What a slut.
Hi, Dovely.
One of them will have a clipboard. Hello.
And of course, John Boutel from the Neat Geek is here. Hi, John. All right, I jacked up just a little bit. I did.
All right, we need to talk about Mad Men.
Woo. Okay, go now for that, it. I would say, an even dozen would be fine. I mean, what? Where the fuck did that come from? I don't remember this shit.
I don't know. It's probably like a microphone in everybody's houses, and John records us all.
So, place your bets on Jared Harris's next job.
Oh.
Well, I think he already has a job on Fringe, doesn't he?
He's got a job. Well, actually, somebody mentioned that his character is in a tenuous situation as well.
Oh, wait a minute. No, he's dead on Fringe.
He's dead on Fringe. That's right. So, there we go. There's his tenuous situation.
It just now occurred to me.
Hang on. Rocks. Oh,
spoiler alert.
But
Ed, being dead is a little bit more than a tenuous situation.
He's died in two series so far.
Three. Didn't he die in Sherlock Holmes?
Yes. Or he was
there
more,
you go. There's three.
But Rocks, you remind me of that line from Top Secret where the Nazis on the phone going, "Yes, well, let me know if there's any change in his condition." Slams on the phone. He's dead.
Well, you know, it's a change. What?
If you need someone to die, here's the actor for you.
Well, you know what? Hey, here's the deal. It's costing Sean Bean is asking for more and more to die. Okay? So therefore, you gotta have a backup Sean Bean.
Yeah. Oh my god, Jared Harris on Game of Thrones next season.
Oh my god. Did you see the season 2 bootleg DVD art that got I put it on Twitter.
No, huh?
I think it was from like Singapore or something like that. It was in like a shop window or something. It was a big poster. Of someone had cobbled together some Game of Thrones people in the background, and in the foreground was the head of Sean Bean on Thor.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm sure Sean Bean was happy about that.
My thought was if that's your season 2 finale, which I'm sorry, Rox, that was this week. I don't know if you got that.
Thanks.
No, wait, there's two more episodes.
Shut up, Toffley. Shut up.
And those two more episodes, it looks a hell of a lot like the show Aaron Sorkin's writing.
Weirdest sequel
Toffley,
ever.
And I thought you were the good one on this show.
Uh-oh. Oh, and by the way, the short guy hates the internet. That's a spoiler.
Yeah, there you go.
What?
It's a hallmark of every Aaron Sorkin series that somebody at least goes at length for at least 5 minutes on how much they hate the internet and how inaccurate it is.
Oh.
So. Now,
has that started yet? When does that start?
I'm guessing it starts in the space that, I know True Blood is going to inhabit the space that, isn't True Blood immediately occupying the Game of Thrones space?
I think so.
Yeah, and I think the Sorkin show will be after True Blood at some point, as they like to do.
Because
I know Tremaine's not due back yet, so I think that's in the fall. And I think that's the last year, so.
Is it a last year for Curb? Curb Your Enthusiasm this year?
Every year is the last year of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, this is true, yeah. So anyway, Mad Men. That was really
excellent. He should have killed himself. We don't like Pete.
I know. We're destined to be plagued by people like Pete. Camp.
Here's the thing. I find it interesting because for the first time since I've been watching the show.
Oh yeah, spoilers. And it's not the season finale, just so you know.
Mad Men did exactly what I thought they were going to do, which is kind of disappointing.
Now, did you?
Because I had called, I guess, are we going to go ahead and say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we said spoilers.
Well, yeah, but I was being gentle about it.
Just rip that Band-Aid off.
Mm-hmm. But, Lane's suicide was, I kind of predicted that, and it actually happened.
I
was surprised.
Only because it, go ahead, sorry.
And the way they had set it up during the season, I thought, because it could have gone like, three other ways.
Because basically
they were setting up the idea that, okay, someone's going to die, basically, is what they did.
Yeah.
Certainly the preview showed that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because those previews are way clear and they make everything evident.
Actually, the subtext of the commercials are much clearer than the actual subtext found in the program.
See, now, if he was playing, if you did sort of a mashup show, Jared Harris would have been like our Moriarty-type character and said, fuck you, Don. I own this company. Oh, you know, and I, you know, and took over.
But you know what? Say what you want. Right. Say what you want. You know, before they killed him off, he got to punch Pete, and everybody's wanted to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So, there you go.
And not just punch him, beat him soundly.
Right. Did you read that apparently nobody saw the makeup that Jared Harris had on for the opening up of his office? So it was a shock for everybody.
Yeah, they had set that up.
That was so kind of cool. Yeah. But I kind of like the whole thing of how bad a jaguar is. You can't kill yourself with one. just so you know.
No. A little suicide advice. Not with
here's
the jaguar.
After watching that, I was thinking, because they played up on how bad a jaguar is.
Did you watch the Top Gear 50th anniversary thing?
No, I didn't. But I was going to – I had this in mind because I know Inspector Morse drove one throughout the entire of his series. And I don't remember it ever breaking down. And he had an older model. Did they ever play up on, you know, his car breaking down?
Not that I recall.
Anybody?
Not that I recall.
Yeah, I don't watch Morse.
Anybody who has watched Morse – please call in to Help Me Rocks, because I need help on this one. 404-382-0769. If you know that answer, that if Inspector Morse's Jaguar ever broke down, let me know. Anyway, let's move on.
You know, but the one good thing that came out of it is it, like, kicked Don's ass, and he finally sort of...
Here's the thing is this is a second suicide that has affected him. I mean, there was his brother, Adam, you know, that committed suicide. So this is like second one.
Yeah, but I don't know. It really seemed like this, considering this was kind of his fault, you know,
Don's getting really good at assisted suicide.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
No, he finally sort of, well, it just seems like when he did the pitch to Dow Chemical, it seemed like he was really...
Yeah, but here's the thing, is he went for the Dow Chemical thing because he was still in a... he wasn't sure if he totally won the Jaguar ad. So all of a sudden, he had this thing in his gut going, holy crap, you know, we can't do piddly little crap. Because we'll... Oh, and that was another thing, is the jab in the... in the barbershop about your little ad agency, you know, so that was another thing of a little jab at him. So,
yeah, I think this was finally the wake up call for him to realize that things were going to shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, this really, he was, you know, for a while he was like sort of, you know,
here's a couple things that I know, but here's a couple things that might play out too. Is somebody brought up the loan that he took out? That's going to hit him in the ass, you know, in the ass about that towards the end of the season. And somebody actually brought up that mob guy that he had, you know, that found the wallet, and he was trying to hook up with that guy's girlfriend, wife. Apparently he may have been a mob guy, so...
I never really got the impression that he was a mob guy, though.
Really? Somebody did. I was reading in a forum.
But
so.
the loan is an interesting take, because that's going to hurt the agency, obviously.
Oh, big time. 50,000? Yeah. Because that means they're not they're operating in the red.
Right.
So, and that whole thing about the fees. That's going to be a big for anybody that has done freelance or has done spec work. This is going to be a big killer for them, because that whole conference that they had about paying for stuff that they will use, that will fucking kill them. meaning Jaguar will only pay for stuff they actually use. So you can do all the doodly drawings you want. We're only going to pay for this one.
Is that
or something like that? That's pretty much, I think that's how a lot of the ad agencies were turning or, you know, doing, you know, that they were faced with towards the end of their hiatus, because it's like, you know, heading into the 70s, you had a lot more, that whole scale of how to pay for things. You know, people were tightening up, their budget, because you're coming into, you know, in the 70s, the whole energy crisis thing and a recession, I believe, which so, England had a recession when Lane, which they finally explained, just so you know, here's a quick help me rocks thing. If you have stocks and stuff in an IRA or any retirement fund, when you cash that stuff in for an emergency or stuff, you are required to pay taxes on that. Just so you know. There you go. So they explained that whole, you know, him owing the money was actually the taxes that he got when he cashed in to become a partner. So he got the $50,000, but from that he owed $7,000 or something like that.
Which, so, by the way, just in case anyone's keeping score, is a lot less than what Joan paid.
Yes. Yes.
I thought you said I thought you said John, and then I realized you said Joan.
Yeah.
I said Joan.
Well, that was a thing, too. Somebody brought up, you know, who chipped in what percentage for Joan to get 5%. You know, how was that divided up? And that was interesting, the whole Ken Cosgrove thing. So they want to go after Dow. Ken Cosgrove's dad or father-in-law is head of Dow. And he made
Who, by the way, is Ray Wise.
Yeah.
The head of Dow Chemical has played Satan in a previous life.
Yeah, there you go. Who has actually made a move of cutting Campbell out of all of the talks on that. That was pretty cool. And it was kind of neat. Did you notice the sitting situation that you where they were discussing? It was him and John Slatterly up in some Roger, lounge. Yeah. Roger. He was sitting in a higher chair than Roger.
Yeah.
Just that change of, you know, power structure type of thing. So
I did appreciate that 5 seconds of old Roger Don banter.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's all we've gotten in like 2 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had that animosity too.
Yeah.
And two, somebody also brought up the, you know, the whole thing of Don being responsible, considering his whole life is built on a stolen identity. And everyone just went, well, whatever, kind of
now,
a thing.
Now, see, here was the question, and I may have missed this part, but did Lane know?
I don't think Lane knew. No, it was
Cooper knew.
And
Cooper
Roger,
knew.
And
Cooper,
so did
Cooper, Campbell. Roger, and Pete knew.
Yes, those three.
Yeah.
And I think Peggy knew.
It was a
I don't think she knew.
No.
I think Peggy knew.
No.
She may have guessed, but I don't think she fully knew.
And it was a nice touch with the whole thing where he said, you know, this is the hardest part. You know, I've started over many times, and this is the hardest part.
Right. But, I mean, here's a guy that's so into himself, he misread the entire thing.
Did he? I don't know that he did.
Yeah, I think he did.
Because my wife and I were
Lane, is that's not what Lane...
No, I mean, here is Don misreading Lane totally.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Don has a disdain for people that do show weakness. Always had.
I didn't get that at all. My wife and I actually sat, when we were watching it, we sat there and said, he handled that very well. We thought that he was, of course, it's a character, and I always have to snap myself out of it. But having been around a company that's been laying off a lot of people lately, Mm-hmm. But not laying them off to replace them. Actually, not to downsize. But anyway, he handled it, the character handled it very nicely, I thought. And both my wife and I said that it was he was very calm, and he gave him an opportunity to get out. And the fact that he was crazy, that he wanted to, not crazy, but that he was suicidal is not Don's fault. Although he has had two people in his life commit suicide, it's not his fault. I mean,
but here's the thing about
the dude broke a law.
Well, he did. Yes. And well, so did Don. Don broke the law as well.
Well, I think he was that before it was cool.
But here's the thing. The thing about that is, A, he didn't want to call the cops because that would be bad publicity. They would also, you know, then there was a whole thing of they could have bought him out because he still owed a percentage. That meant he would have had to either relinquish, you know, his percentage, and they would have to figure out how to divvy that up. But I didn't think he didn't want to call the cops because, you know, it would be a big black eye on them.
I didn't get that impression. I thought that the fact that Cooper came in and told him, you know, you can't be the good boy, well, the adults run the company, just before he did that, kind of said to me that he was doing it because he was trying to give Lane a way out that, you know, he didn't want to, it wasn't because of the company, but it was because he felt bad for Lane and that he knows what it's like to screw up and have to start over again. And that's the impression that I got.
Right.
I think there's a certain level of deceit that Don will handle.
Mm-hmm.
That Don can justifiably, reasonably handle. And then you cross a line. The thing with Lane is, I mean, Don's secret, the fact that half the firm already knows about it, doesn't really do that much damage to the business unless they're dealing with the government, which is where you had the plot line, what, last year?
Right, yes.
Where Pete actually stopped trying to land the government when Don asked him to.
Yep.
That was the thing. And I think Don will protect the firm. And I think if it's the firm versus everything else, Don will choose the firm. Clearly that's what happened. And he had to, because in the scene where, Don was talking about it with Lane, if Lane had admitted to actually, okay, yeah, I wrote a check or something, he would have just covered it and kind of kept an eye on the books or something, or had Joan do it or something. But because of the fact that Lane lied about it twice, and then tried to justify the action by saying, well, it was his money in the first place. Well, no, well, okay, maybe it was, but it wasn't. Then, and plus, if it came out that the guy was cooking the books, that does make the firm look bad.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
So, firing him seemed to be, although I'm not sure, could he actually fire a partner?
See, that's the thing I don't know.
That's what I was asking.
Without
fire Lane?
See, I thought it had to be like a consensus thing if you're a partner. I mean, I don't think if you're not going to bring, you know, a police investigation into this, then you would have to. I mean, they're doing everything on the up and up of doing, you know, doing the meetings with, you know, minutes and everything else like that. So they're above board on how they keep records. So they would have to, because somebody else, about. Here's the thing, real quick, is now that Lane is dead, did they make a provision that his shares go to his wife? So now you're going to get this element of her if that occurs.
Well, yeah, but she's not going to know what he was doing either. Because, you know,
she could come in and say, you know, I own X amount. And I'll be a silent partner unless you pay me off and all of that. Because, see, that was another thing, too, is they could have made him resign. If they're not going to do the whole police investigation type of thing, he could have resigned. And I think, depending on what his percentage was, he could have been a silent partner. He's not allowed in the office or anything else. But, you know, they would have had to buy him out.
You know, if they really wanted to get Lane's wife out of the picture, all they have to do is have her go into his office and look under his phone.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Here's how you know you're old. While he was going through all that, all those scenes, I was thinking about the implications of life insurance on all of that.
Oh.
And that's how you know you're old, folks.
Well, maybe he has the same policy that Pete has that doesn't dock you if you commit suicide.
Is that true? Is that what Lane?
He mentioned that was in the early episodes when we thought that Pete was going to kill himself. He talked to the guy on the train.
That guy on the train who sells.
And he mentioned that he has like a policy that if you commit suicide, it doesn't void the policy.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
And Sally became a woman. Wow, there we go. We can end on a happy note.
Which of course spawned many a talk with me and my wife about our daughter.
By the way, I bet she
have a creepy friend.
You know, the weird thing is I like Glenn.
And she keeps talking to this guy, Scott Campbell.
Hey.
You know,
I've heard the name Campbell's kind of, you know.
Hey.
Creepy.
I didn't realize this until I caught the credits, but the kid that plays the guy.
Uh-huh.
Glenn. Yeah, he's Matt Weiner's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I remember that from like two seasons ago or something. And he was.
But the other thing I was going to ask. Now I know I haven't. I may have missed a January Jones like appearance. But when did she lose the weight?
She still looks like she has it on, I thought.
She still has she's losing
not the
weight
face prosthetics.
Slowly.
Right. She's not doing Weight Watchers.
No. She's,
right.
no,
she's doing Weight
they don't have it on the face, but she's, you know, they're making it so that she's losing weight slowly, I think.
Okay. So.
The four-hour body has not been found way back in the 60s.
And we're just back in the conversation.
Which is... The whole storyline with Betty is just ridiculous.
It's been a sad season for Betty, I think.
Well, she got pregnant.
I know January Jones has been in like a total of, you know, 8 episodes over the last 2 years, but really.
Right. This one wasn't a good one.
Are you counting X-Men First Class? Because she was that character there too as well, so.
Well, yes, but there she had powers and she could have just killed Glenn by staring at him.
She does have the excuse this season of being, you know, pregnant. Right?
Well, she does. But it does mean that, you know, basically 2 years that, you know, the character has been pretty much marginalized.
Yeah.
And her entire storyline thus far in the last 2 years has consisted of, yes, she's unhappy.
But the sad thing is Henry is actually one of the most decent people on that show.
And that's the weird thing about it because, well, Henry and Trudy are probably the only two uncorrupted characters on the program.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, I don't know. There's a thing about Tootie I don't like. It's like, I don't know. I can't put my finger on her.
But the thing is, though, this has been the main – and Glenn said it. You know, why is it when we get the things we want, they turn out to be crap?
Yeah, I like that end.
That's been like the big thing about Mad Men in general. It's most of the time when we want something so badly, it's so intensely, and we finally, it's like Christmas, you know? Half the time when you get something, it's like, oh, thanks. You know what I mean,
everybody's faced that. I mean, January Jones's character did when she was going off to Reno. I was hoping that there would be more fireworks between Henry's mom and her.
Baby, you're a firework.
You know. So,
Well, you know, no, here's just because Sally kept injuring
her. Those are respectable wasp women. They don't really do fireworks. There's like cold salt shoulders and catty comments. They don't do knockout dragouts.
Oh, Eddie Izzard. You guys said Eddie Izzard earlier. For some reason, when you said Eddie Izzard wasn't on the 13 Mockingbird Lane or whatever it is, in my mind,
13.
In my mind, I heard Russell Brand.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be funny? Him as grandpa? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Rox. Rox? Wow. Hey, Rox. This is something very important that I just found out. I found this online, so I'm assuming that it's accurate, but it appears the next episode of Mad Men is the season finale.
That I did know.
I'm just checking.
All right.
I don't want you to get caught unawares again and have it spoil an episode for you.
No, that I didn't know.
AMC advertises that well, as including their the fact that Dish is dropping him.
Those are two things that they advertise very well.
I thought they kept it, but then they moved it to like outer Siberia in terms of channels.
I don't know. No,
that's what I read.
Did they? Because as of last Sunday, they were not keeping them.
So drop your Dish network and go with.
So I realized that this was, you know, during Mad Men, and these announcements were airing during Mad Men. But you know, AMC Breaking Bad is about to come back. They could have. By the way, Dish people, you're not going to get to see the last season of Breaking Bad. Sorry.
Or Walking Dead, any of those. See, and Tuffley, you had mentioned this. I don't know.
Quite a while back.
30 podcasts ago.
They're renegotiating their fees.
Exactly. This is exactly what you were.
Walking Dead.
This is the time where AMC is going to the cable operators and going, listen, you know all those shows we brought you? Yeah, we're going to need to start paying for those now.
Right.
So, because AMC has not been making the money to actually afford these shows. If they don't raise their transmission fees soon,
well, they didn't have to spend all that money on that song. Just saying.
What song?
Remember
we
talked last week about that Beatles song.
We could have had the bit that you left out of the Battle of the Blackwater if you had just not.
Or we could have had another episode for that amount of money.
Hey, Rox. You could have had like. You could have had like 2 more minutes of Game of Thrones for the money spent on that Beatles song.
No.
You know.
That would have made me happy. But not, because it would have been in the season finale still. But
if they had
like,
shaded the fire, if they had needed more shading for the fires, that would have the Beatles song would have paid for that.
Well, they got rid of all the interstitials between Mad Men with all the little facts and whatnot. Because my buddy used to write them for AMC.
Yeah.
And
I thought those were all sponsored.
No, mm-hmm. His friend
Simon.
Simon. Yeah. Wrote those.
He used to write them, and I was kind of hoping that they would hire him back to do Walking Dead things like that. You know, when
zombies go bad.
When zombies go bad.
You know, normally rigor mortis ticks.
I was about to say they are technically going bad. They're rotting.
Yeah.
But everyone's dying.
So they're filming. So they're right in the middle of filming in the prison. So there you go. AMC is cutting their costs, because if they're filming in, you know, sets of a prison, they save money, right?
No, they're actually
they're
filming,
not really doing outdoorsy.
No, I believe they actually built that set in the middle of Georgia.
They're really? Filming in actual prisons. Actual.
No way.
No, just kidding.
Nice. Oh, okay. So. This was brought up earlier. Apparently, it's mentioned over the weekend that about World War Z. Talk about Walking Dead. This reminded me of this. World War Z, the audiobook, as I mentioned before, the full cast audiobook,
which you can get on Audible.
Yes, you can. Good point. Oh yes, thank you for reminding me about that. If you go to audibletrial.com/justice, you can get it at free. If you get that, it's volume one. It's basically like half the audiobook. And it's really awesome because it's got Carl Reiner and Alan Alda and Mark Hamill, Henry Rollins. It's got an awesome array.
This is why I think Ken Burns should have done this show.
Yeah,
this
I know. But what I was saying is that
Martha, we encountered a bunch of zombies up at a Maddox.
So yeah, anyway, what I was trying to say was that the full length audiobook has been apparently announced. They're going back and filling in all the bits that they left out, like the sub story.
Oh my God, that was great. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's
Ken Burns. Do this movie. Just take it over from Brad Pitt. Just go over, clunk him on the head, stick him in a closet.
Brad Pitt isn't directing, is he?
He's involved.
He's a producer. He and Leonardo DiCaprio went into a bidding war over it.
Who's actually doing the directing?
Mark Forster.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Mark Forster, who most recently did, he did Machine Gun Preacher, but he's probably best known recently for Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace.
Now, if they did this like in like the way they did Traffic, I think it'd be okay.
Quantum of Solace is a good film and was directed well, but it's not exactly the same genre.
Well, the problem is that they've completely changed it. So it's about a UN worker who is trying to get information about the zombie outbreak. So it's not happening afterwards, and they're talking to people afterwards, like, oh, say, the fucking book. They're turning it into kind of like Contagion with zombies is what it sounds like.
So yeah, basically Brad Pitt is Kate Winslet.
Boo!
So are you telling me that Battleship is not actually about the board game?
No. Oh.
No, what's sad, though, is that there was some actual good stuff in Battleship. It's just not enough of it. Nowhere near enough of it. So.
See the way, Homer.
You know, the sad thing about Brad Pitt winning World War Z over Leonardo DiCaprio. Didn't DiCaprio go and get Twilight Zone?
I thought he had Twilight Zone already. Now I could have.
He might have, but I heard he had gotten Twilight Zone because he couldn't have World War Z.
Meh. See, I got Twilight Zone.
Now, see, if he got Twilight Zone and let Scorsese do it, that might be interesting.
Yeah.
In 3D.
In 3D. No. Weren't they originally going to shoot the first Twilight Zone in 3D with the helicopter sequence? And no, that bad idea. Bad idea.
Dodge that head.
Bad idea.
Too soon.
There's
the dark
place we went to, yeah. Wow. No, I don't know. You could do a... But it would be nice to have a big budget Hollywood anthology movie. That might be fun.
Forget the movie. I just like to have the Twilight Zone back.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean like the cheap ass UPN Forest Whitaker hosting version.
No.
Yeah, that's crap.
For real, straight up, you know.
Well, yeah, who's going
to
do it?
Twilight Zone revival. I would love to see that.
Well, the first revival was actually really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That had some great shit in it.
Yeah, and while it was actually on CBS, they threw money at it like crazy, and it looked great. When it went to syndication, it got a little eh, but...
You know, there were some excellent episodes of that new Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just figured since, British television is having, they're reviving all these shows, particularly with Doctor Who... I figured CBS is sitting on top of Twilight Zone. I figured it'd be a matter of time before they just brought it back.
Please tell me the Brits are not going to do like the Tomorrow People, please.
Well, I know Blake 7 is supposed to be on the drawing board to come back.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I think ITV's supposed to be doing it, but that was like, God, 2 years ago. So I don't know if anything's happened with that yet.
Now, the funny thing is this is why I couldn't watch Firefly, because to me, Firefly was, sort of a take on Blake 7. You know, everybody's an anti-hero on the ship, blah, blah, blah. That's why I couldn't watch Firefly.
Well, I mean, the other thing too is, yes, CBS could just bring back Twilight Zone, which would be smart, which is why they won't do it. But, you know, anybody could step up and do an anthology show. It's not like not crap loads of stories out there. And I'm not even saying that because I'm sitting on crap loads of stories. I'm saying that because you could do it.
Well, you had Masters. Now, you had Masters of Horror, and is that still running?
No.
Is that over?
That's done, And the weird thing is the sci-fi one was terrible.
Yeah, they tried a Masters of Sci-Fi, and that really sucked.
There was like one that was, you know, they tried. They really, the one that they did with Harlan Ellison, that was a pretty decent story. But it's just like, oh, the sets, you know, it's...
Yeah. Didn't they try to, when Kingdom Hospital tried to become a series, didn't they try to make that an anthology show?
I think so. Really?
I think, though, the problem is, isn't part of the problem with doing anthology shows now is that since you're doing, like, a new show every week with new sets, new actors, new everything, it's more, it just jacks up the price?
No, because you can, I think
not really.
People at, you know, not at, I don't want to say cost, but whatever, you know. You could do it like the Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected or something, where you actually have your host, which they tried that with John Waters, and it was very short lived, where he had these, like, you know, crime, tawdry crime tales. And he was sort of like a horror host, which will bring up my recommendation later on. We don't have that. And they're fun.
Here's the only problem with anyone trying to bring back Twilight Zone is the problem they always have, which is, do we try to have a narrator? Do we try to have somebody in front of the camera? Do we try to go the Rod Serling introduction route? What do we do? And I think the second incarnation kind of nailed it with just a narrator you don't see.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of Forrest Whitaker mumbling at the beginning of the show.
Right. The cool thing about, you know, Twilight Zone, the original with Rod Serling, I mean, he created it. So, and him being one of the major producers of it, you know, it's like, hey, it's my show. Plus it helped that he had that voice. It's like, who would you have to do it now? I mean, who owns it? You know, nobody other than CBS owning.
Well, I think what you need is you could bring in a narrator who is a celebrity who's just got really great voice. I mean, for example, they did the radio show versions of pretty much all the Twilight Zone episodes, and Stacey Keach was the narrator.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know, Martin Sheen.
Ooh, yeah.
But you,
yo.
You need somebody with a. You almost need somebody with like those those people that you hear doing the commercials. You know what I mean? Where you just go, oh, that's so and so. You know what I mean?
Who can herald death onto a scene?
Oh,
that's
Dennis
the type
Hazer.
Of voice you need.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
Sure. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
You sound like death on a stick. What's up?
Nothing. How are you kids?
Good.
Oh, we're fine. We're fine. You missed a musical interlude earlier, and you should be very happy that you did.
That's okay. I'm planning my own.
Okay. Wow. Although, now, you and John need to compare notes because John had his first professional DJ gig.
Really?
Yeah,
it's actually my second.
Now, hold on a minute. I don't like the fact that people are laughing when John says he had his first DJ gig.
It was for fifth graders.
So?
Oh, God, John, no!
Wait a minute, is that Mr. Kirillathan?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're going to burn for this, John. You know that.
It really scares me that I didn't even hear a note of it, and I knew what that was. I need to leave.
Well, the wind blows a hard against this mountainside.
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference? All right.
Anyway.
So anyway, Rob, I had to invoke a certain other song in order to get out of that. It was pretty heinous.
Because someone talked over
Someone was on Rock Lobster.
Stop searching, the searching, 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 searching. Loading, loading, loading.
I know what we're doing. I'm just waiting for someone to call it.
He did. He did.
Oh, I missed it. I mean, if he's going to talk right over it, it's going to be it's going to
Rock Lobster.
That was an angry Scott.
Well, somebody was talking over.
That wasn't bad.
The cue.
That was a bit of a ballsy sort of Iggy Pop Rock Lobster there.
I know.
People talking over my shit.
That's right, Scott.
Scott.
I love how he's made it his own now. Isn't that nice? How far we've come.
Yeah, what episode was that introduced at?
I think that was in the previous series.
Sorry.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
If I've done absolutely nothing else to contribute to the history of Need Coffee, I've introduced Rock Lobster to Scott.
Well, that's...
You could have introduced us.
So, John, I'm going to ask, is it that you actually own the live version, or is that the one you could find on Spotify because they don't have the studio version?
You want the studio version?
Jesus.
I can see the studio version.
What's that, Rob?
Could I want some good music?
Yeah. Yes. What do you know about some good music, Rob?
Anything but that right at this point. Jesus fucking Christ. Put out some Fishbone, for God's sakes.
Oh, God. Fishbone is always good. So, Rob, have you seen anything? I'm walking that road and I follow. Fucking hell.
I used to play Europe when I was in a band.
I'm sorry. Hi, John. John, do you have something kind of like weird and like classical themic you could play?
Because
I'm gonna scare Widge.
Oh God,
weird and classical themic.
I just should have asked there, dude.
Not the Lost in Space theme.
What?
Lost in Space theme. let's see. Let's try that.
What in God's name?
Well, it is weird and classic.
Oh, the pain, the pain.
All right.
Rush, so anyway, wait.
Yeah, Rob.
I was actually afraid to tell you this because I didn't know how you'd actually take it because I thought it might, well, you probably wouldn't actually give a shit.
Okay.
But for the first time, and Janet was checking over stuff the other day just to verify it. But
yeah?
For the first time in 12 years, I've gone a week without seeing a movie.
No! Are you okay?
That must mean nothing's coming out.
No.
I couldn't go to the screening of a particular movie that's coming out, and I'm really mad about that for one.
Oh.
Which movie was that?
It was a junket, too, so they have people that are in the film on, like, a phone, and you can actually talk to them. Yeah. So.
Oh, Prometheus. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was Elba on the press junket?
I'm not going to discuss this stuff because I'll get mad again.
Let's discuss it then.
Hey, Rob, did you know that was the season finale
of... I haven't read a book or a fanzine. Either.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this better?
Someone took a vacation.
Come on,
how can you not be? How can you not be bopping your head right now?
John,
hang on.
How did you get from?
Yeah, Yeah, more people remember the banana split theme than actually remember the banana split. So.
Now, remember when we were talking earlier about submitting YouTube videos for people miming things?
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Did you record anyway, Rock, singing the banana split song?
You asked me something and I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, you know how you want... Oh, all right, we're thinking of making little stickers for the zine and for Dragon Con. And I think it should say needcoffee.com, and underneath that will say, I'm a derelict.
Yeah. And it'll be great because everyone will say, isn't that supposed to say I'm a derelict? And we'll be like, no.
Yeah.
You should also... Yeah. I meant to mention this, but you should also put in there like a handwritten note advertising the telephone number for Help Me Rocks.
It's a sticker. Yeah. It's going to be like 1 inch by 1 inch.
No, on the zine.
I might have a...
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
I don't know how many I can get, but I might have some shrinky dinks for us.
Ooh. Shrinky dinks.
Is there a shrinky dinks thing?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with them?
I don't know. I'm actually to the point where I'm sick of Dragon Con.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't say that.
Did the bad con...
We'd like to see you.
I've submitted. No, I go see everybody. I'd still come down. I just thought I wouldn't actually do anything.
Oh, well, Scott doesn't do anything.
Do all the neat coffee shit. No, wait a minute. Scott does quite a lot.
Not for lack of trying.
Last jury didn't do anything.
No, Roxy did plenty, but he was never convicted.
What were their names?
Now, Scott does quite a lot. Actually, Scott is great on the Doctor Who panels.
Yes,
and he's great on the Gay Themes panel.
Yes.
So, and he has his own following of people that like to hear his comments on different things.
And I'd like to point out that Banana Splits is not a gay theme.
Right.
No.
Need this birthday decoration with her glow-in-the-dark Shrinky Dinks.
Shrinky Dinks!
She did with Trace, color, and cut. Then Mom popped it into the oven, and in just minutes...
Wow, look at it shrink!
It shrunk and cooled into a hard...
You know, how many times have I heard that from a...
hardened plastic piece of shit.
How many times have I heard that from a woman?
What? And Mom got lung cancer from the fumes of the banking Shrinky Dinks.
Scott, you're on Shrinky Dinks all the time, right?
Shrinky-dink.
Oh, if only.
He's on Scooby Snacks.
What would a shrinky-dink be?
Wait.
No,
that's serve. That's
riding around, robbing banks, all whacked up on the shit.
Yeah.
What does...
If I was robbing banks, I wouldn't be on this podcast. I'd be spending that money.
Scott, I asked the question again. What is...
On random people.
What is a shrinky-dink in the gay community?
Oh,
Shrinky dink, I don't believe, is a term used in the gay community because
shrink is not a good thing.
Well, it involves cold water. Do not want shrinkage. If I remember the Seinfeld episode correctly. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do not want shrinkage.
Hey, Rox.
I was in the pool.
If it's in the lesbian community.
I think that for the sake of zine research, we could refer to shrinky dinks as all the people that are fans of Scott that come to Dragon Con.
Okay.
We can just call them the shrinky dinks.
Okay. I like that.
And let me just point out that the first person to come up...
The dinks.
The first person to come up wearing a homemade shirt that says, I'm a shrinky dink, wins a prize.
Or I'm a derelict.
Shrinky and a dink.
Or actually, the first person to have a Scott C. shrinky dink made should get a prize.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Or even Scott C.
You can't, and people, you can't cheat and use a laminated picture. I'll know.
If someone makes a Scott C. Christmas ornament, I will send it to Fred Schneider.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Hear that, all you crafty people? Yeah. Get on it.
Dear talented and bored people of the world, your mission is clear.
Yeah. This is the part that gets us into trouble.
Wow.
Where are you talking about? Tuffley disappeared.
No, Tuffley's still there.
Uh-oh, no, we're trying to call him. He got kicked off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Widge was trying to get... Widge apparently was trying to get my attention. What were you trying to get my attention for, Widge?
Oh, earlier when you were playing some song, and you can't hear me screaming at the top of my lungs because you're playing a song.
Just no, he can't hear it. He's just ignoring you.
Oh, no! No!
stop it.
Wow. Well,
punch in the head like Mo.
Hey, Ross.
Yeah.
I need something to chaw. A hanker for a hunk
of cheese.
Oh, that's that pilot. That's that pilot that's got this. Little cheese sandwiches.
Come. I will clog your arteries later. Yes, what?
That really scared me. So, Rock, sometimes do you ever sit around and think of guests that you know Dragon Con should invite, but they never do?
Yes.
Billy Hayes. Why haven't they fucking invited Billy Hayes?
Because he's dead?
No, Chicken Boy Witchy is still around.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Billy Mills. Sorry.
Wow.
having Witchy Poo and Rocks in the same point in space and time would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Although if you'd like to feel less guilty about it, you can both try hawking OxyClean.
Yeah.
No.
And can I have the magic flute?
Blow me, Billy.
Oh God.
Ladies.
And in your case, the magic skin flute.
Exactly.
I don't think he's aware of another kind, Rob.
Scott, I'll give you $1 if you go up to Dean Cain and ask him how the tube steak is.
What? Is that a thing with Dean Cain?
Never mind. No, I don't know. It'd just be funny. Never mind.
Oh, well, I didn't know if that was like a specific reference to something. That's why I was...
No, I'd just be funny to see Dean Cain pummeling you into the ground. That's all.
It goes to 11, Scott.
The tube steak goes to 11?
Is that like his milkshake brings him back to... Never mind.
Oh, my God. You guys frighten me.
So did y'all talk about Richard Dawson yet?
What about Richard Dawson?
What? Oh, that's right. He's died.
Dawson.
Yeah.
Rock and I are the only people that are bummed.
He died Sunday.
Holy shit, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Sorry. See, I thought you were just holding it until Rob came on.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, really? What? Are we going to do this during Richard Dawson? Really?
Yeah, really. What? I don't know what that is, but Richard Dawson.
You didn't even know, so why do you care?
The former Mrs. Nas during the Richard Dawson thing, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
the best comeback to I'll Be Back ever.
Holy shit.
Show respect, bastard.
So he thought he had heartburn. Turns out he had stage 4 esophageal cancer. Yes. Fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, man, that bums me the fuck out. I didn't know. Oh, shit.
Completely reinvented the game show, one. Two, yeah. Was fucking almost as funny as Charles Nelson Reilly on The Match Game.
Yes.
And almost stole Hogan Heroes from Bob Crane. Almost.
Yeah.
Almost. Well.
But he did beat Bob Crane in the amount of women that they would go out and score at one night on a consistent basis.
That entire
well, that's
of
because
Hogan
Bob Crane wanted to videotape them, and that slows you down.
Man, that was a creepy ass film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Setting up the camera angles takes like forever.
And that, and he had John Carpenter directing them. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Are you?
And then, of course, there was Running Man.
Oh, God. All right.
You know, there was Running
Sorry,
Man.
Sorry, Rich. I didn't mean to bring you down.
No, I did not know. I don't know how I missed that.
Busy. But I am looking at some...
I'm looking at what?
I go back to the point where I say that I do not look forward to getting old. Because I'm looking at some pictures of him in the later years and... He does not look like a man.
You take better care of yourself. You know, you do like marathons and shit.
Yeah, well.
You have to understand, John, that he did practice the English theory of he never stopped drinking.
Yeah. You know, Richard Dawson has lived a long life of hard drinking and kissing other people's wives on television. So
that's right.
So his life
fucking them off television.
So his life really isn't that different from mine.
No, I said this on Facebook. If you were a senior in the 80s and 90s, you probably had an 80% chance of being kissed by Richard Dawson.
Yeah, it's kind of like George Jones, because, except without the tractor thing.
Well, no, actually, before there was Matlock, there was Richard Dawson in Family Feud.
That's right.
I mean, it's really sad. He completely reinvented. I mean, you think about it, with Family Feud, he completely reinvented himself from being a character actor who was known for being kind of bawdy and very quick with the joke to, like, being this, like, congenial bon vivant game show host, like, almost overnight. It's literally like he sat on Match Game, soaked everything up, and learned it, and then when it was his turn, he got it right.
Yes.
And he didn't fuck around with doing more than one game show, none of this Bill Cullen 10-show shit. He did one show, did it well, and got the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And won an Emmy.
Yeah, and then I remember, I think, Louis Anderson said something about he was the best host ever of Family Feud, and asked Richard Dawson about it. He says, I'm not even going to dignify this with my time. You know, that sort of, like, English reserve that's awesome. So the funniest Richard Dawson story isn't actually really a Richard Dawson story, but back in the mid-90s, just some background for Widge, so, you know, Doctor Who used to have a companion named Lala Ward, who was named Romana, who was played by Lala Ward, right? So she used to be married to Tom Baker, who was the actor. And it got out, this is before the internet, in all these different fan publications that Lala Ward married, instead of, somebody made a typo, and instead of putting Richard Dawkins, put Richard Dawson. So literally, overnight, Richard Dawson's getting all these, like, Doctor Who people calling him, asking him, why did he marry Lala Ward? It was just like, what the fuck?
Those like computer first commercials said they'd be together forever.
Yeah. Which is kind of funny. Plus, the fucking Running Man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said, he gave the best comeback. Only in reruns.
Well, they've been running because all episodes of Match Game on the Game Show Network. And there was one where he's sitting next to Charles Nelson Reilly, and I forget who the other person is, and somebody put this answer, and him and Charles Nelson Reilly were gone for like 15 minutes. I mean, they were just, there was one round they just skipped them. I mean, they were just gone. So you could totally tell they were having fun on Match Game.
Well, I just posted to Twitter and Facebook both something I posted a while back, which is still one of my favorite things ever, which is Richard Dawson just completely breaking down on Family Feud after one of the most hilarious answers in existence. He simply could not recover. It was genius.
Yeah. And I think I posted the song by Messiah the other day on my Facebook that they sampled him.
I think I have it right here.
You did it once, going to do it again, aren't you?
Can try.
Well, 15 not the Messiah seconds, thing. Please.
During what months of pregnancy does a woman begin to look pregnant?
September.
Something.
Oh. Yeah, that doesn't go together.
That stupid whore.
Luckily, the clock doesn't start until I finish the September, of course. It's so obvious, isn't it? It's kind of embarrassing.
I
have to reset the clock.
Anyway.
It's even better. What's funny is you watch that clip, and of course they're doing the finale thing where the second person comes out and answers the same questions, and they've been in a soundproof booth, so they don't know what's been going on other than just the host is fucking flipping out and can't stop laughing. The audience is laughing, and this poor woman's like, I don't understand why everyone's laughing. It's fucking great. Oh my. Well,
here is the second woman.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Good girl. Okay. I shall ask you to, well, just remind everybody, give me time. If I talk, I'll be gone. Here we go.
Okay.
Good. Oh, good luck.
Oh, thank you.
During what months of hold the clock.
I don't know how to take this.
I'm fine, we'll do it. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, God.
It's genius.
It's bad when you get the giggles and you cannot stop, no matter how hard you try.
Have you ever
done that, Witch? Have you ever just lost it on stage? Not that way.
But, wow.
But no, seriously, have you ever just 80s? Cracked up on stage? I said not that way. Goddamn, I'm being serious.
No, just take
That's why
it
I posed
off.
That as
Fuck
a question.
Me. There's been two situations that could have gone horribly wrong, and I somehow managed to stay in character and not lose it. One in which, while I was playing Ali Hakim in Oklahoma, and a guy I know who is leaning on
Muslim in Oklahoma?
There's a what?
A Muslim in Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah, watch the musical, Scott. It's a good you should check it out. Anyway.
Sorry.
So this guy was leaning on the railing of the house, which then broke during my song. And I didn't know during a school performance. So of course, everyone in the audience freaked the fuck out. And I didn't know what was going on, but I somehow managed to stay in character. And there were, when I was doing the Fantastics, I was the mute and I ran into a situation in which some people didn't even make their entrance. So an entire scene was lost. And also when an actor went up and I couldn't feed him his line because I was the mute. So in both cases, I was on stage and could do very little of what you normally do to cover yourself because I could not speak. The artist is going to get shafted. Exactly. So
I think the one that resonates with me is I was in this skit with.
Oh, I don't think we need to hear about this. This is a
no, 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 no. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant resonate as in vibrate.
No, no, no.
Does resonate have a Z in it?
It was a musical piece. And there's this couple dancing, and I'm sort of like the friend of the girl, you know, the friend who always pines for her but never gets her. Well, the thing was, it was set up like at work, so it had like a little snack area. We had like a little coffee pot and everything. Well, this one time, the person she was dancing with pushed her away a little too hard, and she fell down like on her butt on stage, and she jostled like where all the stuff for the snack area was, including the glass coffee pot. So it fell and smashed all over the stage. Yeah. So, but what we did was I got her up. We finished the damn skit. God knows how. And we ran off to the other side of the street and started laughing our asses off. Because we actually got out there without killing ourselves.
Yeah, when we had good man Charlie Brown, the guy who played Snoopy when he climbed up on the doghouse, it fucking collapsed. It was hilarious. And then he improv the line, don't make them like they used to, and it was even funnier, and none of us could laugh. So.
Anybody else?
Pause that refreshes every 15 minutes.
John, you've done theater stuff, right?
What's that?
I thought you've done theater stuff, right?
Yeah, I went to college for it. Scholarship.
So what? Well, do you have any stories?
Nope.
Seriously.
In other words, he has no photos, no evidence. He destroyed it all, and he doesn't want to think about it.
As far as you know, a performance of was a Neil Simon play?
Did you forget what play you're in? Is that why you had a problem?
Odd Couple? Were you in The Odd Couple?
No. It was the one with the movie was made with Bridget Fonda and
Golden
Paul Newman. No.
California Suite?
No. Yeah, I think it was California Suite. That's one in the hotel. That's one in the apartment, right?
Oh, there's also there's several of them.
Well, anyway,
California Suite, and then there's the Plaza one.
As far as you know, that
Walt's map out.
As far as you know, it's no one's penis came out during any of those scenes. As far as you know.
Were you not secured during this
scene? It wasn't me.
Oh. Well, damn.
Oh, no. See what he's doing?
Was this person secured during that scene?
There was someone in the cast.
Because if Johns had come out, you would have known it.
There's someone in the cast he didn't like, and he's referring to him as a penis. So he made his entrance, and thus his penis came out.
Awesome. Ta-da!
You've got it right. Very good.
Hey, well, I know theater speak.
Well, right.
Yes. Speaking of speaking, we should probably move on to recommendations because it's getting about that time.
What?
Yes, exactly. And yes, as will inevitably come up, any of the stuff that we mention here, you can find by going to needcoffee.com/Amazon or needcoffee.com/Amazon UK. And any of the stuff that we've talked, or even if you just want to buy something that we don't talk about, then more power to you. It all goes into the coffers and helps us out. So that being said, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Tough Lake.
Well, I don't know if anybody can guess what I'm going to go with this week, but the new Hives record came out this week. It's called Lux Hives. It's quite good. You should enjoy it if you like very loud rock and roll. The other thing that came out this week that I really enjoyed, Japan Droids have a new album out called Celebration Rock, which is good. And when combined with the Hives album, you have a full hour of loud, fast music. Very good. And I'll mention this because I noticed that Amazon MP3 is having their occasional $2.99 sale. And I noticed one of their choices this time was Xanadu, was the soundtrack for Xanadu. Now, I'm mentioning this because you should own this album for a very simple reason. You should own this album for a very simple reason because, yes, it is that soundtrack for that horrible Olivia Newton-John movie. Yeah.
And, watch your goddamn mouth.
And half the soundtrack is Olivia Newton-John, which you can skip. I think it's the first half. It's fine. But half the album is ELO.
Yes.
And it's important in ELO. It's important to note that part of the album, which is ELO, because that is the final appearance of the full-fledged ELO on record, because the next album, I believe, is Time, and that's when Jeff Lynne broke out the synthesizers and canned the string section.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're fans of, you know, ELO, and for some reason you haven't bought this record, dear God, it's $2.99. Go buy it.
And don't be a Xena douchebag.
Yeah, I'm a fan of ELO. I saw them in concert.
I'm not talking to you.
When they were still all together. It was a good concert.
And that's going to be it. That's going to do me.
Oh, well, Tuffly is done.
I ended with Xanadu. There you go.
That's good. All right, who's next?
If you're doing it right, you always end with Xanadu.
Go, Rocks.
Damn straight.
Okay, this is something that I picked up from last week's episode of our show when we made a mention about Scott becoming a horror host. I went and found American Scary, which is a documentary about the horror hosts that have been around since the 50s in different local syndication in and around different states. It's really
that
good.
Is pretty awesome.
It is. I liked it a lot. We had one in near Elmira, and they didn't talk about that guy because it was kind of cool. What they did was they only showed this guy's hand, and he had like this Barnabas Collins ring, but they did this diorama of a haunted house up on a hill, and they would like pan on it and film it. And then there was like this Igor character. So they didn't really have them. And I'm still trying to figure out who they were, who the guys from Elmira were from. But they had like Tom Savini in it. Leonard Maltin talks about the horror hosts. You know, how Elvira got her popularity. And they talk about Vampira, who was like the first, one of the first horror hosts. You know, these are the people that would introduce, like we were talking about with Twilight Zone, these are people that would introduce the film and
a lot of the times they would do like funny skits and stuff. And this is where we get later on Mystery Science Theater 3000, which Joel shows up for a little bit in the documentary. It's not a long one, but it is neat to see who is out there and some of the people that are still doing sort of a web version of a horror host. So, and a lot of these people got a lot of like fan mail, like the ones in the larger metropolitan areas like Chicago and New York really didn't have any. They just had like this claymation thing for Chiller Theater and the other one. There was another one. I can't remember it. But then there was a really cool one from Elmira. So anyway, pick that one up. Another, oddly enough, another recommendation from Scott. I'm going with Rail Sea by China Mieville. And if you do, what I'm doing is I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it. So if you go to Audible, which, what is that?
It is audibletrial.com/justice.
Justice. And you can download Rail Sea. I did not realize that this is his young adult, his second young adult story, other than Un Lun Dun, which is another young adult story. This is sort of a take on Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson and, of course, Melville's Moby Dick. I didn't realize it was a young adult story because here's the thing about this guy is he does not write in a condescending way to children. It's almost like you'd almost want him to rewrite a Harry Potter story.
Oh, my God.
I think it would be awesome if he did that.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. His handle of language is really interesting when you had a story such as like Embassy Town, which is about language and how, translation gets all screwed up and stuff and how
introducing such an alien species. I mean, it's not just the whole thing. It's just amazing.
Yes. So I'm going with that and my zine pick of the week. So, yeah, actually pick up anything by China Mieville. He's awesome. Show Me the Money is my zine pick of the week. Labor Creates All Wealth. And in this, I picked up the 2010. There is a America's Top 10 Most Corrupt Capitalists. And Robert Rubin heads it off by being number one. Second is Alan Greenspan. Of course, this is when he was still working. And then, of course, it goes all the way down to like Goldman Sachs. If you're into like wanting to know about how bad, the regular guy is faring on Wall Street, this thing is chock-a-block full of just craziness, actually. There's some conspiracy theories about how Wall Street's run. There's actually a really interesting thing when you consider this is 2 years ago about the sovereign debt crisis in Greece from 2 years ago. And then of course there's a global debt crisis. So if you want to bring yourself down to a real zine and a real downer, get yourself Show Me the Money. So I am done.
All right. Thank you, Rox. Who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Scott.
I will second Rox's recommendations of China Mayville's work. I've read a lot of his stuff, and every time I read one of his books, my mind is blown. And not that way. But it just the concepts he introduces you to, like
Embassy or City in the City is a good one.
Kraken,
I like that
is
one.
Also a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's fun.
Just like, the idea of cults actually being able to worship, gods, and then being able to pick up little tricks, or the city in the city where two separate cities exist in the same place and how they manage that just it messes with your mind, and every time I read one of his books, I'm just like.
And the cool thing about it is when he makes fun of something, such as Kraken and the idea of gods and religion,
I can see where people don't get the joke because he writes in such a way it's you'd like, wow, this guy's writing like it's factual in a way, you know, that it's believable, but it's absurd at the same way. So yeah, his sense of the way he writes his prose is really, really amazing. I mean, he is one of the top notch writers, you know, if you rank him up with, you know, like Neil Gaiman.
Yes. Now, in terms, the other thing I have is Universal is putting out the 100th anniversary discs, like some of their biggest hits, and they're putting them out on Blu-ray and DVD and all that. And the one I would like to recommend is The Sting.
Ooh.
It's a fucking classic movie. If you have
that's a fun movie.
If you have not watched it, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Seriously, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's Robert Redford and Paul Newman having a blast.
It was just on this week, too.
Yeah. And it's all about the long con, how cons are, you know, perpetrated.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Leverage or Hustle and you haven't seen The Sting, you should go do that.
This is his granddaddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is his granddaddy. I mean, every one of those shows has done a version of the Wire con.
Yeah.
At one point. Or every one of those, like, heist con has done.
Oh my gosh, that scene with on the roller coaster. Is that the one? Or was that Sting 2? Forgot. Sorry.
I think
spoiler
it's
alert.
Sorry.
Oh.
Well, either way, Robert Shaw's in this one. So see it for that.
Yeah. And that's it for me. Dun dong.
All right, cool. All right, Rob, what you got?
First of all, I'm going to start off The Running Man. End of fucking discussion. It's awesome. I'm just saying. If you want to get your Richard Dawson on, The fucking Running Man. It's awesome. Okay, moving onwards. So perhaps you were like me and maybe Widge, and you like this TV show called Luther an awful lot. But you say to yourself, I really wish it could be more violent. Well,
really?
Because that's what that show is missing.
Yeah.
Or I wish it could just be more gritty, or I wish they could do more with it than what I see on TV. Well, the other thing I hate is when they do books on TV series and the people that make the books do nothing about it. Well, in the mail, I didn't even fucking know this was coming out, and it came in my mailbox at the bookstore.
Oh.
I got a copy of Luther the Calling, which is the first Luther book by Neil Cross, who I might add is writing a Doctor Who script, and maybe next executive producer of Doctor Who could possibly be, oh my fucking God. Having said that, he's at least going to write three books about Luther, which is stuff that he wanted to do in the show and hasn't been able to do. And the first one's called Luther the Calling, and it's really, really good. And I like the fact that the guy who created the show is writing the book, which to me is the cherry on top of it. So it's coming out soon, but I got an arc of it. It's really, really, really well done. And,
please let there be an audiobook.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. I just want to hear Idris Elba do an audiobook of it. I know.
Oh,
hold on.
Awesome.
Hold on.
What?
Luther. I'm looking it up to see if it's got an audiobook. Hold on. Give me a second.
Well, so, we can keep talking while you're
doing. I want to say I'm so excited about that.
No. Everyone stop the podcast. Hold on.
Jesus.
Yeah. But if I were in the process of getting prizes for a particular track at Dragon Con, I would get that as a prize. But alas, I'm not. So, but I'm still pretty excited about it. Then I wanted to recommend two quick records, the first being the brand-new record for Regina Spektor, who I didn't even know there was a Regina Spektor album out until she was on Jimmy Fallon this week. I was like, what, huh? So,
yeah, that was a very quiet release on that one.
Yeah, it's called What We Saw from the Cheap Seats, and it's really, really good. You can tell she's sort of building her repertoire. You know, in the same way that Tori Amos after the second and third album sort of didn't really go anywhere, she kind of is. I mean, she kind of totally gets that she still has to be a songwriter that writes songs, that wants that draws people in and tells stories. And it's really well done. And I don't know if I love it as much as the first record, but I'm really enjoying it a lot. I also want to recommend the new record from Saint Etienne called Words and Music. If you're a fan of London or England, you'll love Roxy. You will have fun with the cover because it's basically a map of England with all these pop culture references. Like, they change one street to Penny Lane, they change one street to, you know, Abbey Road, and they change all the street names. But some of them have, like, you know, Terry Pratchett Boulevard, and just weird little names within all the map of London that they made. And it's a really accessible, really great pop record. It's called Words and Music. It's by Saint Etienne. They sort of do this, like, sort of retro-y, quasi, I don't even know how to describe it, really, but it's kind of in the same way that, like, the Delight did retro. They kind of do this throwback 70s soul, 70s electro, 80s electro kind of thing, but they do it pretty well. And you can tell that their record collection is really deep. Because you can just hear all their influences. So I want to recommend that. And then finally, my zine recommendation is, it came in the mail, and I was actually really excited. I got a Facebook from someone saying, you know, can we send you our fanzine? And I was like, okay. And I assumed, Rox, that you had set these up because they said that, they knew I liked, you know, they heard I liked fanzines. And I was interested in fanzines, and I ran into a girl I knew who knew I liked music and fanzines. So I was under the weird impression that, you know, you hooked me up. So I sent him this email. Oh, you must have talked to Rox, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for this, blah, 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 blah. Yes, send me a copy of your fanzine, blah, blah, blah. And they're answering like, no, we heard, you know, it was another friend of mine. So I had to backtrack and explain everything, which is really funny. But it's a zine called Cheap Shot. They're out of, like, near Brighton in southern England, and it's mostly a music zine. But they do a lot of really fun stuff. The one girl who writes for it gets points for saying, you know, flat out that she has a list of things that annoy her, and she put Fergal Sharkey, who's the lead singer of the Undertones, which is pretty ballsy to say that the lead singer of the Undertones annoys you, I think so. But it's a pretty cool music zine. It sort of focuses on a lot of really underground, sort of up-and-coming British music artists and general sort of music stuff that's out there you may want to hear type of a zine. But it's really well done. It's really well written. The graphics, of course, are absolutely fucking dreadful, which is great. And, yeah, so get that. And then, oh, I do want to recommend a CD, and then I'll shut up, by a band called Exit Music. That it's, if you loved OK Computer and you loved the Cocteau Twins, they made a record together. That's all I'm saying. Done.
All right. Thank you, Rob. All right, John, what
Running
you got?
Running Man.
Running Man.
Oh, quick update. So far, there is not an audiobook listed for Loose of the Calling. What?
What about in England?
Oh, that's a good point. But I was going to say that it doesn't come out until September, so they may not have had recorded it yet, so it may not be. But I will check .uk. One sec. Oh, go on.
Now, Luke, I know you're not a fan of reading books as much as audios. Do you want me to try to get you one?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Kozak can read it to him.
Internet break, puny podcast.
Now, Scott, I can read. You and I both can read. It's just for different reasons we choose not to.
I know. I'm just, you know, I was.
To be perfectly fair, Scott, I was not really a fan or really down with the whole concept of the audiobook until Wid started saying all the different ways that he has to listen to audiobooks, and I gotta say, he's on to something.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I was kidding, Wid.
I haven't been stuck in an office for 70 hours in 2 days. You know, you can listen to a lot more audiobooks that way than you can.
Oh, trust me, I have been there. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. So sorry.
I was kidding, Wid.
I know, Scott, so was I.
I don't know, it sounded kind of hurtful.
I'm trying to tell with you, you're very convincing.
Well, I said it with conviction. I went to the Spaz House School of Speaking.
There you go.
Yes.
And you, right, too, can go to the Spaz House School of Conviction. Just call 404-382-0769 and find
Ask
out.
Ask for Janice.
Yes.
The prescription for diction and conviction.
and Scott, he means actual diction, not. Never mind.
Yeah.
John,
diction.
Oh wow! All right, John, what have you got?
I've got actually a couple of items. First, I'm going to recommend the first half of season 4 of Sons of Anarchy, only because that's the only part that I've watched thus far. It is available on demand for purchase from Amazon. Thus far, the season is not disappointing, especially if you like the first 3 seasons of Sons of Anarchy. And you like watching, let's see, what's his name? Ron Perlman play a big guy who's angry. Oh, wait, that's every episode, everything he's ever done. Just without makeup this time, that's true.
John, just so you know, because you've only gotten halfway through the episode.
Season.
When you count up to, through the season, yeah. When you count up to the 14th episode, that's the season finale of season 4. I just looked that up.
Oh, thank you.
And I just wanted you to know.
Oh, it's good that you told me ahead of time, because otherwise I'd have been sadly disappointed when I got to it.
I'm angry
and upset. And I would also like to recommend Amazon's MP3 download for finding all the hits that these kids are listening to these days. And by hits, I mean things like Stronger by Kelly Clarkson.
No.
What Makes You Beautiful by... One Direction. Those kind of things, you know.
One Direction. Jesus fucking Christ.
Look, I told everyone, and I was not joking about this, I tried playing Pink Floyd. I tried playing some, you know, older Yes. And nobody was...
You have nothing to explain to me. what's sad is that when the adults come up and want to hear One Direction, that's when it's over.
You know what happened? Here's the quick story. So I'm actually playing a little mixture of some slower stuff as the fifth graders are starting to come into the banquet and everything. And then the adults come up. One of the adults came up and goes, I think everyone's here. I'm like, okay. We're going to put the dance music on anytime soon? I'm like, what? Oh, I don't know. The hamster song?
What?
It is fifth grader, so, I mean, you got a shuffle there? A Cupid one or a cha-cha slide or something?
See, John,
did you play the fucking slide?
Yes, I had
John,
to.
John, what you didn't know.
Dead to me.
John, what you didn't know is
what they wanted to play.
Oh, my God. Rob went from, you don't have to explain anything to me, to, you are fucking dead to me, dude.
The slide is like the worst invention by mankind, right? Fucking Tesla screaming in his grave about the slide.
I played the cha-cha slide and the Cupid shuffle.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Now,
by the way, John, what they didn't tell you was the hamster was code for R. Kelly.
I was, the number of kids that came up and, like I was saying earlier, the number of kids that came up and asked for Eminem and Sexy and I Know It and
Chris Brown.
Chris, yes.
You see, Rob, you mentioned Tesla, and I think I should point out to our listeners that when it comes to the electric slide, Tesla wanted the AC electric slide, whereas Edison wanted the DC electric slide, and that was
the bastard.
But they both enjoyed dirty deeds done dirt cheap, Wedge.
Right.
When I told the girl I had no rap for her, she was like, "This party sucks."
I know. It sucks when they do that.
Listen, there's only so much I can play at a fifth grade banquet. I don't know what you want from me.
And you couldn't slap them?
No, John. Not legally. Did your kid think you were, like, cool?
Well, my kid wasn't there. I was doing this as a... last year, my kid was in fifth grade. This year, they just asked me back because I did a good job last year.
Okay job.
See, it wasn't my first time.
You did an okay job. We'll let you come back.
See, now next year when this opportunity comes up, let Rocks and I DJ it.
I'll have you send the playlist.
For some reason, I'm seeing the big prom scene from Carrie.
I will bring 2 Victrolas, and Rocks will think of a way to mix them back and forth creatively with steam.
Yeah.
We'll play records from the 20s, and no one will care.
Oh, yeah.
But the... the if you look at the what now that's what I call hits, then you can find the songs that all the kids are listening to these days.
And also Xanadu for $2.99, people.
There you go.
John,
Xanadu is wonderful.
Thank you. John, you have actually solved the problem for me without even trying. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I'm doing this thing for the zine on the music of 1912, and I haven't figured out what to call it, so now I can call it, now that's what I call Hits 1912.
Sweet.
And then one will read it.
And if I wanted to buy any of that, where could I go?
John Lair.
Lame throw over to Widge.
John, you know that's...
You could cha-cha slide over to Amazon.com.
Oh my God, that was a lob.
Now I will say that John, that is one of your nicknames here around the Need Coffee offices, is the lame thrower. So wait, needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Is Scott the flamethrower? Soak it in.
I don't want to soak it in because it burns. Anyway, yes, needcoffee.com/Amazon, needcoffee.com/AmazonUK is the way to buy things, whether it's stuff that we've discussed here or anything that you want to grab. Just bookmark that. And by buying anything, no matter how small, trust me, it helps. I could get into all the algorithms of how it helps and stacks up, but that would bore the shit out of you. So just trust me that it helps. And also, of course, as we mentioned before, audibletrial.com/justice, where you can get a 30-day trial of Audible and get a free audiobook. So any of the stuff that we've been talking about audiobook-wise, you can snag that way and give it a shot.
I was about to say, if you continue with Audible, you can also get Audible books through Amazon.
Yes, but you generally it takes you to Audible and then you
Amazon.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go through Amazon through us at needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Well, generally, when you're on Audible, you're paying like a monthly fee. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Regardless. No, I appreciate it. Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Folks, it's even easier than that. I know what you're saying at home. No, it couldn't possibly be that easy. Yes, it's easier.
God, it's gonna be all right.
Yeah. Oh shit, that's funny. All right, so so anyway, what I'm gonna recommend is that it's a Blu-ray that's out this week. It is Act of Valor, which is the Navy SEAL movie. Which is yes, you can say, and I did, and I am. You could say that the script needed a bit of tweaking.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps. What's that?
I said, oh, yeah. Go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But you can't get over the fact that these are actual Navy SEALs playing Navy SEALs and doing Navy SEAL things on screen, a lot of it with live fire. So it's pretty fucking crazy. I especially like, and it's the script really that's to blame. My favorite were the critics who were criticizing the Navy SEALs as actors, where it's like they're playing versions of themselves. How can you criticize Navy SEALs that they're not good enough Navy SEALs?
I actually think you don't even review Act of Valor if you're a serious film critic. I mean, you don't view it like a regular film. You go and you're like, okay, these are Navy SEALs being Navy SEALs, having a good time. If you want to go see shit get shot, blown up, and dudes running around killing things and having a fun time, that's what you see. If you're looking for like a plot and dialogue and editing and all that, this isn't for you. But it is like just like an orgy of like guns and explosions and just really awesome shit.
And tactics, which one of the things I liked most about the film was as much as they could as well is the tactical aspects of the of what they did. So
yeah. It's like Rainbow Six, the movie.
Yes,
actually, yes, it is.
In fact, I found myself, this is no joke, I found myself literally, because I was playing Battlefield 3 fairly heavily during that time, pressing my Y button, trying to switch
Whoa, guns. Is that a euphemism?
Yes, it is, in fact.
Okay, all right.
Because it was that, I was that turned on by what was going on screen. I had to press my Y button.
So, women have a G spot. John has a Y button.
Why ask why?
Exactly.
Y, left button, right button, trigger.
Square, square.
Anyway, excellent recommendation, Widge.
Yes. So, it's definitely worth,
I know it's all about the film critic thing. I'm just saying.
No, no, it's okay, Rob. I see where you're coming from.
It's okay, Rob. You suck.
Yeah. Go to the cha-cha slide somewhere else, Poncho.
You know what I love about the cha-cha slide is that, that we played the,
nothing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We played the, second,
the same society that built Carthage gave us the fucking cha-cha slide. Jesus Christ.
The second version of cha-cha slide, which halfway through the song, they talk about the third version of cha-cha slide will be coming out soon. They literally say that in the song.
I really like, Rob, the fact that you referenced Carthage in there, since I get the feeling that the cha-cha slide is something that you want to raise to the ground and sow the ground with salt.
Well, one, that was my shout out to Din, who's a big fan of the cha-cha slide, and you know,
Doc writes one of those in every week.
I know. It's sadly because of the mouth farts, a lot of them get lost.
No,
but
there's no cha-cha slide in Doc. Thank God.
Well, you never know.
Aaron, on the other hand,
isn't there a little cha-cha slide in all of us?
No.
There's unfortunately a little bit of Scott in all of us.
See, that's true.
Scott is not the cha-cha.
No, actually, I don't think you can blame the cha-cha slide on the gays. I'm afraid they get a pass on this.
Wait a minute.
You're afraid they get a pass on us? And we're back to Mile.
Welcome back to Racist Cast.
Mild racism and bigotry.
Oh, Jesus.
It's all
because of the gnomes.
What were you recommending again, Widge?
Well, I have no idea what was just happening there.
Hello, Internet. How are you?
Hi, Internet. You look lovely today. Nice panties. All right, so I think.
Why, thank you.
I like women naked. I'm not talking about the ones on your head, Scott. I didn't know you were such a big Weird Science fan. Anyway, so I think it's time to.
Oh my God, are you letting us go? Is it that time?
Yes. Now, Rox, hang on. Now, to be fair, Rox, there has not been a prison or podcast created that can hold you. You know, you're just sort of here on your own accord.
Yes.
Okay.
It takes a nation of millions to hold you back, Rox.
All right, I jacked up just a little bit. Oh God. All right. So I think it is time on Weekend Justice, just like every week, where in closing, we should all pause, reflect, and not say Kyrie Eleison. I would say,
Mr. Terrible, but the reference in that Hey Soul Sister, Mr. Mr. song, which made everyone fucking go back and listen to him. Thanks.
See, that's just trains carrying on the tradition of one lame California band mentioning another lame California band. It happens. Yeah. They name drop. Yeah. That's what they do.
If there's two bullets in the chamber, three bullets in the chamber, the first one goes to fucking Mr. Mister. The second one goes to Mike and the Mechanics. So
wow. I was going to say that's the violent version of the sketch.
Wait a minute.
Two bullets in the chamber. No, three.
Thank you. Thank you, Tupper. Yeah.
Yes. Have you ever been driving around going, damn, I'd forgotten about that song? Well,
wow.
Now you can relive all those songs.
Okay. Nope.
And this new K-Tel collection.
Hey, and you know what? Now that it's like 11:30, we get to go to bed with this. It's going to be our heads at night. What?
This is going on
my notepad for notes for Danger Woman.
Oh my gosh, yeah. When she asks for requests.
This is something
it's,
new.
It's okay. I have the new Hives record. I can just flush it out of my head. This
All right.
Thank you, Spotify, for helping me cleanse my mind.
Yay.
You know, the city left an un...
Everybody clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap your hands.
What is this?
Clap your hands. All right, now, we're going to do the basic step.
The slide.
To the left.
My God.
Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time.
Okay, you need to stop.
Let's stop.
Stop.
Cha-cha, real smooth.
Musically insulting.
Oh.
Turn it out.
Oh, my God, this is ridiculous.
You should not be have somebody saying turn it out this time. Fifth graders.
Right foot, let's stop. Left foot, let's stop. Cha-cha now, y'all.
Okay, wait a minute. Did someone, let me just ask you in all seriousness, did someone find them and kill them for stealing that bass line from Another One Bites the Dust?
Another One Bites the Dust was stolen by the Sugar Hill Gang, and then it just went all over the place.
Oh, God.
Went all over.
Toplin can back me up. It arguably all goes back to Rapper's Delight.
Yeah, well, it's good. Good Times by Chic.
Wait a minute. Rob, did you just say Leper's Delight?
No.
That would be awesome band.
Oh,
that would be the
man,
most awesome
Leper's
band
Delight. Man, that could be a zine, people.
Oh, well, sorry.
Or that could be
Leper's
the
Delight. The yes, aren't they huge in Mumbai?
Leper's Delight.
No, I think for Leper's
Delight. Oh, my gosh, you know what? It could be a yogurt stand.
And you don't stop until it falls off.
That's right. Would you like an extra scoop of that? Oh, that's my finger.
You know, Rich, you haven't lived though until you've seen 1,000 big, heavy, scary Klingons all doing the slide at Dragon Con. You really haven't lived until then.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to not to have this weird proto life that I have.
I took that bullet for you.
Thank you, Rob. It's much appreciated.
Fucking idiot.
I also had to play the Macarena.
What?
Not do that.
Hi, it's like 5 years old, 10 years old or something, isn't it? That's the only song, I think that's the only dance that Madeline Albright would dance to.
Yeah, no kids. Yeah, no kids, this song was a big hit when you were all embryos.
Well, Rob,
you think I'm kidding. I've actually seen her do it.
No. Oh, Rox, don't do that to me. Oh, actually, I needed that. Thank you. So, Rox,
yes.
As part of our zine, we should start a Kickstarter campaign.
No.
To where, like,
hold
they
on.
Pay to fly me down to Tampa to just go with a bat and smash the shit out of the fucking thing.
Okay.
So we never have to hear the slide ever again.
I don't know. He's just chewed the Macarena up. I'm going before he does this.
It's happening. Run away.
Bye, people.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as needcoffee.com. KneeCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without KneeCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, KneeCoffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at KneeCoffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
You're going to burn, John.
Run away screaming. Everybody scream.
You realize you're just playing into his hand.
Sometimes it's just for me. Goodbye.
Sorry to hear that.